your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. May we stand this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, bless you. I hope it's built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and right. I dare not trust the sweetest friend. I dare not trust the sweetest friend. But holy Christ's solid rock I stand.
On Christ's solid rock I stand. All underground is sinking sand. All underground. His covenant, his blood, support me in the wealthy flood. The wealthy flood, when all around my soul gives way, all around my soul gives way. He dead is all. On Christ, this revealed word, the mystery of God revealed. The solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground. All of the ground is sinking. Praise His mighty name. We'd like to welcome you all in the house of God today. Certainly appreciate being here in His presence. As David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you happy to be in His presence today? Is He blessing you? Is He doing great things in your life? You don't have to be in the mountaintop to be blessed, friends. In the good times, you praise His name. In the bad times, you do the same. Whether in the valley, in the mountaintop, no matter where you are, He who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Lord, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. He who is the author and the finisher of your faith, He is working all things together for your own good, even right now. Can you say amen to that? And you believe that from the bottom of your heart? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We have a little dedication. Brother Joel and his wife, son of Brother Joe Muhammad here. And their little baby boy, Luke Adam, to be dedicated to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, and walketh in His ways. But thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Amen. Blessed be His wonderful name. Let's just bow our hearts in prayer for dedication. Amen. Praise His mighty name. Thank you, Jesus. Gracious God, we are so thankful for this blessed privilege to stand in Your divine presence. and to stand with the offspring that you have blessed us with. I pray today, dear God, as my brother Joel and his wife come in, Lord, with the little boy that you have blessed them with, Adam Luke, bringing him, dear God, to offer him up unto you for a life of service. We think, dear God, of Manoah and his wife coming, dear God, with that little boy that you had blessed them with, desiring to know from you what is the purpose that you sent him for, that they will know how to raise him for the glory of God. What a great insight they had. What a great understanding you had blessed them with, Father, that they knew that children are an heritage from the Lord. And they know, dear God, in your great divine foreordination, Lord, you make us stewards of all these things. Give us a space and an allotted time to live, to fulfill your purpose under heaven. And knowing to every purpose under heaven, there's a time and there's a season. A time to be born and a time to die. And oh God, to know that how we desire to use that time profitably, constructively, in a way, dear God, that we can fulfill our stewardship and be glorifying unto you, Lord, in the sacred charge and the responsibility that you've committed to our trust. I pray as they would stand here today, Father, that these things would be so quickened to the heart and the mind. And Lord, in this role of parenthood, in these challenging times that we live in, knowing we are at the end of the age, we see the condition of the world, we see the darkness, we see the chaos out in the schools, we see, Lord, the delinquency in the world. God, when we think as parents we have to raise children like this, yet, dear God, we know in your great mind you did not make no mistakes in giving us children to raise. Because, Lord, in the midst of all of this, you desire to be with us, to lead us, and to guide us. And so I pray that today as they stand here, Lord God, you would drop that faith into their heart. And Lord, you would give them the strength, the power, and the might in the inner man. And that, dear God, that they would purpose in their heart to fulfill your will and to raise this little boy to the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may they be endued, Lord, with the understanding that they would be enlightened to even have the insight into the equipment that you put in him. That they will be able to recognize it and understand your purpose and know how to create the right atmosphere and the environment. Lord God, how they'll be able to lead him into your will and make your will known to him and to teach him your ways. Bless them, dear God. And may today even be a special day for them. Bless the little boy now as we bring him to you, offer him up unto you for a life of service. Praying, dear God, that as we offer him to you by faith, placing him beneath your precious blood, under your watchful care, Lord, in your divine presence, Lord, your Holy Spirit will engulf him, overshadow him, dear God. And Lord God, may he be so quickened that even from the instructions that will be imparted to him in cultivating his little life as a tender plant in the garden of the home, Lord God, we grow in grace and in knowledge. Lord God, when he begins to speak, the name of Jesus would have such meaning to him, Lord. His heart and mind be filled with your person. Oh, may you grant it, Father. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless him and give him health and strength. And will grow in grace and favor before God and man. Keep him in your presence, Lord. Keep him from all harm and all danger, we pray. Let him grow healthy and strong. Let him be a joy to his parents and his grandparents. We thank you, Lord, for Brother John and his wife, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the family and the stand that they've taken. God, I think of this young man here. To know, dear God, that day when you took his brother right before his eyes in that water, experience life. Today he has offspring, Father. Oh God, may he grow close to you. May he walk close to you, Lord, under your holy influence. And may you bless and strengthen them and supply their every need. We dedicate little Adam Luke to you now for a life of service, giving you praise and thanks in the almighty and precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I can invite your attention this morning over in the book of Genesis 49. I was reading in the week. Told you of, I was going to come back right here and kind of just speak on this and praying that the Lord would be gracious to us today, depending upon him. There is so much that is happening. There is so much people in need. There is so much people going through affliction and hard times. I'm certainly desiring that God give a word that could help them and strengthen them and stabilize them, give them courage, that they wouldn't faint in the time of trial and testing, but that he would renew their strength and cause them to mount up with wings of an eagle. Amen. We'd give them victory. We'd give them understanding in his ways to bring even deeper submission in their life, to lead them to a place where his power and his glory can be made manifest. And I'm sure we all desiring that this morning, aren't we? Amen. We know the hour we are living in. We know what God is desiring to do for us. Genesis 49, reading from verse 22, and this is Jacob's blessing on his son Joseph. He had blessed 10 of them already, and now he is blessing Joseph, the 11th one. And he says, Joseph is a fruitful bow, even a fruitful bow by a well. He looked at him, he identified what he was. He was a vigorous branch, full of life. He looked at his fruitfulness, what he was bringing forth to the honor and glory of God. And he looked at where he was planted and where he drew his strength from. When we look at each other, if we have eyes, we can see what moves this sister, what moves that brother. Why are they flourishing like that? Why don't their leaves wither? Why don't their fruit fall off untimely? Why are they bringing forth fruit to perfection? What is the secret? Why are they always fresh? Why are they so full of exuberance? What is the thing that moves in that life? Could that be human energy? Or is that divine energy of the Holy Spirit empowering them and making them fruitful? Do they have a secret that I need to get a hold of? Oh my, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. So he suffered grief. He was shot at. He was the target for their anger, that they hated him. They persecuted him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his bands were made strong. You mean to say, after being sorely grieved, being shot at, being hated, inside of there he found strength and he abode. He found a place where he lived. He abode in strength. He didn't get weak and fall apart. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't gloomy. He wasn't drooping down. He abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong. Continued to be strengthened by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Look at the source of his strength. It was the invisible God, who knew he was being hated, Who knew he was grieving? Who knew he was suffering persecution? He'd been shot at. And God didn't remove that, but strengthen him. God make him a bold in strength. Amen. From thence is the shepherd and stone of Israel. The shepherd is the one who feed the flocks. The stone is the foundation that gives support and upholds you. Joseph became the one that nourished his family. And he became the rock upon which he stood in a time when the world was under great famine and distress. You mean to say you could go through all of this and God can bring you to a place like that? Because Christ himself is the stone of Israel. Christ is the great shepherd. But Joseph was reflecting the God who made him strong. His seven color robe was reflecting the very life of that God from a young boy. Even by the God of thy father, all this is coming out of Jacob's mouth. All this is coming out of Jacob's mouth. Rain falling upon this boy. The father's mouth was dropping the word like distilled dew coming down upon this boy. May it come upon us like that today also. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee? And by the Almighty, who shall bless thee? You've been sorely grieved, you've been shot at, you've been hated, but you're bold in strength, your hands are made strong, because the God of thy father shall help thee. The God of thy prophet shall help thee. The same God who helped him when he was being shot at. Same God who helped him when he was being criticized. Same God who helped him when he was being rejected. And there's a measure of suffering left for you. The same God will come back and help you too. Is that right? The first fold and the second fold. When another, the whole harvest is coming to maturity. Like the first one that came to maturity. Amen. Who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven that form and latterine? With the blessings of the deep that lie under, that's the hidden springs, and the corn that come out of the earth, and the oil that come out of the earth, the olive oil, and the wine, the grape that come out of the earth. That's what the rain comes for, to bring this up, to make you prosperous. Blessings of the breast and of the womb. Oh my, the elect lady and her children. Amen. Look at the children that have been born out of this womb. And what shall I say of Brother Sanchez and Brother Glaude? Amen. Hallelujah. And time will fail to tell of Brother Sammy and Brother Bowen. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Sons born from the womb. Nursing the breast of the El Shaddai. Desire the sincere milk of the word that they grow by. Blessings of thy father have prevailed. The blessings above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. And I assure you, he had a greater blessing than Abraham and a greater blessing than Isaac. Abraham had just a blessing for Isaac and a small shower for Ishmael. Give Midian and them one or two little things. Amen. And when he died, he had one son who was an heir, and that's it. When Isaac died, he had one son who was an heir. Jacob, after he blessed him, he had none to give Esau. Think of it. But Jacob blessed every one of them. And they still have to come into those blessings. Is that right? Under the seventh trumpet, they still come into those blessings. And there's a prophet that blessed us. Beyond what Luther could have blessed the church. And beyond what Wesley could have blessed the church. And beyond what the Pentecost could have blessed the church. They could not tell their age, you'll be a super race, you'll be a super church, that you'll go back to immortality. But there's a prophet that say, I open up to you seven seals. I gift you seven thunders. I take you out of organization. I birth you by the incorruptible seed. Amen. I set you in order under a Joshua commission. I'm bringing back that church that sin can stand among you.
What a blessing that this church has been blessed with, friends. And every blessing that came out of his mouth, this bride will walk into it in this hour. Glory be to God. And I believe right now he's cultivating that we can manifest these things. If you understand the message and the plan for the age. They shall be on the head of Joseph. All of this shall be in the head of Joseph. And on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. And that separate there don't just mean you were separate when you were in Egypt. That word there means Nazarite. He was set apart from his brethren. From a birth. He was set apart. From the time Rachel got child from her barren womb. She was the one he loved first. She was the one that gave birth last. But when she gave birth, got it. Time to go back to the land of your fathers. That's Israel coming back under their sixth seal. Amen. When they're going to wrestle with that angel. And it'll be a dawning of a new day for them. Is that right? That's a mystery of the seventh trumpet. Read the sixth seal. Amen. You know that. Glory be to God. May the Lord bless you in his word. Have a seat. Want to continue to speak on that? Joseph is a fruitful bow by a well. Take part two and for a subject. I'm taking something different. I was speaking in the last service on he who is divine, the well, and the wall. Because it says he was a fruitful bow by the well whose branches run over the wall. But I'm taking a different subject this morning, taking a different line. I want to speak on I am the true vine and you are the branches. I want to turn with us in John 15. To read. I'm the true vine, you are the branches. Amen. St. John 15. Now here he's teaching. Now we're tying this together with that promise of Joseph. Wednesday night I was showing you Joseph a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. He had seen himself as a sheaf of wheat. Now he's seen himself as a branch full of grape. He had the word and he had stimulation of revelation. He had a rainbow coat. At harvest time, he was persecuted. He suffered. But then he came into glorification. The sufferings and the glory that was to follow. And he's a type of the church in this hour, the elect. The elected church. The church that is set apart. Called out from organization and set apart. That bind to the members of the bride, he'll finish the work. Is there such a church on the earth? Has she been separated from organization for that specific work? Vessels of honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work, chosen vessels to bear his name. Is that right? Character is never made without suffering. Character that is fit to rule. How many know she's going to sit with him on his throne? How many, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me? How many know the promise of the last day bride? You will sit with me in the throne. That's right. Come to that place. And then we see how Joseph type perfection. We went through those messages. Prisoners first. Then vindicated and placed sons. The adoption age. Then we went to Israel 2 chapter come of his dreams. And he's showing how those dreams is really the word. Prophetic vision in symbol form. Being revealed. In the time to be fulfilled, in the time of great famine that comes upon all the world. How many know in that time? When money fails. How many know that was the time when money fails? That's the same time, friends. That's the time you see it in the book of Genesis. You see it in the book of Amos. Great famine to strike the world in the last days. You see it in the book of Kings with Elijah. Great famine. That's the hour we are living in, natural and spiritual. It's happening. And so Jesus here now is teaching. Joseph was a type of Christ. And here he's opening this as we looked at also that St. John 15 comes in the period of time after Judas was sent out. He dipped this up and handed to him to fulfill the scripture. He that eateth bread with me will lift up his heel against me. Now it was only he and the 11. Judas went to go into his political arrangement to betray the Messiah. But in that hour, in those final few fleeting moments before Jesus was arrested and publicly crucified, while the church had been in the arrangement with the Roman power, and all the false witnesses and the whole plan to take him subtly, to falsely accuse him, to publicly crucify him, to kill the effect of the thing, which they were prophesied to do, as this same age has done. The message, "What shall I do with Jesus called Christ," explains that to you. Message indictment explains that to you. That the church world and the Roman power comes together to crucify the word. Uniting time and time explains that to you. To bring Titus, the slaughtering angels, the Roman power to destroy the church that reject the Messiah message. And that's the fundamental church political power is taking place. But the elect of the Son of Man has the mysteries open up to them. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's opening something here because 10 John 14, 15, 16, and 17, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the guide, the oneness. Praying not for the world, but praying for these who the Father had given, election, predestination. In my Father's house are many mansions, theophanies, that he couldn't speak to the world. But he was giving that to the elect who were in the roots from the beginning by predestination. And here now he's teaching this. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He introduces the one who plants the vine, the one who cultivates the vine, the one who takes the vine through processes that it can be fruit bearing. This is the two. He don't introduce the branches yet. He's introducing himself as the vine and the one who cultivated him, who planted him. Because he was the beginning of the new creation. Is that right? He came for a specific purpose at a specific time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent his Son. Now the promise in the Garden of Eden came for a specific purpose. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He, the husbandman, purgeth it. That's the work of the husbandman. That method in his work that is designed to make the tree more fruitful. Because like any farmer who plants a seed, his joy is when he gets a good crop. A bountiful crop. When he plants a seed and he don't yield much, he's disappointed. He's discouraged. He labor in vain, sowing tears, and he couldn't reap in joy. So the same way the natural farmer waits with patience for the early and latter rain and anticipates a great harvest, hundredfold, bringing forth fruit unto perfection, the results of his planting. You catching me? Like he planted for a church in the end time. Like he waited for the former Latin. He had patience with the faith. And the seed couldn't grow faster than the law of growth. Because it had an allotted span of time to change from stalk to tassel. apostle, the husk to grain. God allots so much time for Wesley age. God allots so much time for Pentecostal age. God allots so much time for the one man scripture. God allots so much time for the one man scripture until the resurrection. God allots so much time for the Jewish last half of the 70th week, 3.5 years. Is that right? And it can't come before the time. Because you allot, you have a time and a season to his purpose. So he's teaching here, and the teaching is deep. Because of the people he was teaching about, they understood the teaching. To some of us, we hear what I'm saying, and some of us might be conscious, hey, I never see a grapevine yet. How many never see a grapevine here? You eat grapes, but you ever see a grapevine? You see, hardly anybody ever see a grapevine. Now, if you don't know what the grapevine is, you wouldn't know what he's teaching. But everybody there had grapevine around the house. And they know how that grows. And they know when the husbandman purchased it to bear more fruit. They understand how clear as ever. Because that's a process. And they can tell you the tool that he has to do that. You get what I'm saying? Which we're going to get into. Now, why did he choose the wheat to type the church and the children? The wheat is likened to the children of the kingdom. And Luther was his stock and was his tassel. Why did he choose the wheat to reveal himself? Except the corn is going to die. Joseph was the wheat, a ripe sheaf. But why did he come and say, I am the true vine? Joseph was a fruitful bough, by the well. You catching something? Because mystery is mystery. It means something. And if Joseph typed the last day bride, not Luther and Wesley, he typed this bride here. The perfection of the church. The glorification of the church after suffering. Being placed position of authority. The vision does in symbol form being revealed and made plain, the action, prophetic. Think of it. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. There are branches in the vine. They understood that. In the cultivation of the grapevine, when that husbandman comes and he looks at that vine, and he knows it's springtime, he knows in autumn I'm going to be reaping my crop. He knows I have to go through the process of pruning before I come and get the right clusters. He knows what quality of grape I want, because I have to offer in the drink offering to God. Because oil and wine was connected in worship. They worship God with the corn, with the oil, with the wine that their former and latter rain brought. Because the corn is the word Christ. The vine is Christ. The oil is Christ, the Holy Spirit. That comes out of the earth. That must be cultivated. And so, he specifically, not randomly, he specifically chooses the vine to reveal this mystery. To show that there's people connected with him, but then bringing forth nothing. And when you see things happening in the church and you're pulling them off, you don't get trouble in your mind. You'll understand why he cannot keep non-fruit bearing people in his church. So he's teaching every branch in me that beareth not fruit. Because why do you plant the vine? Not for shade. You can't plant to make some ornament, because the vine tree is the most worthless and useless thing if it ain't bearing fruit. Because there's nothing you can do with it. The type of wood it is, you can't make nothing. God said, you can't make a thing to hang up a cup. Now catch this, eh? We are branches in the vine. There's something about the mystery of our life, our chastisement, our fruit bearing, our union with Him, His life in us, producing in us the evidence, the fruit for the age. The divine promises prophesied for this hour. How we were in the root and coming forth in season. All of that has a mystery in what He's teaching here. Because this is what He's teaching to the elect. Because He said, I am the root and offspring of David. What does He mean? David is a vine too. And he was the root of that very vine. And he came with a very branch. And he called a branch. In Jeremiah. Is that right? In Zechariah, he's called a branch. The one that's going to come in the throne of David. He's also called the stem of Jesse. Is that right? In Isaiah. So he knowing how he unfolded the mystery of himself. But when he was designing nature, he was putting the revelation of himself in the rose of Sharon, in the lily of the valley, in the vine, in the olive, in the corn. So that's why when the time comes to put the feast together to worship him by, he chose out the things that had the mystery of himself. Hallelujah! Is that right? Now we read Joseph a fruitful bough. But now we're reading how that branch will get fruitful. It'll be purged. We read how he is shut at and grieved and hated. But we read how he's made strong and he brought forth that fruit. We read that he's planted by the well. Something sustained him and nourished him. Is that right? And then he tells you, you are a branch in this vine too. He said, you are the branch in this vine too. He said, I have branches in that vine. Will I begin for nothing? Then you better be careful. Because according to his teaching, he can't lie. He doesn't leave his mouth already. Because we're reading it here. I want to leave God's mouth to carry all his word. How many knows that? You're connected to him and you're bearing fruit, you're dead. You can't stay inside of here. He had to prune Achan out. He had to prune Korah out. Is that right? He had to prune them 70 out. How many of you are thinning down his crowd when he's coming up to the promise? Before the rapture takes place, there will not be a non-fruit bearing vine among the elect. Is that right? Indeed. Indeed. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. What is he saying? I ain't just satisfied with fruit. I want more fruit. The ones that bearing will get purged. The ones that not bearing will be taken out. He has ways to take them out. He take them by sickness. Take them by riches. Demons have forsaken me. He has ways to take them out. Is that right? Listen. He's teaching something here. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's a play on the same word purge. Same word that means he purged it means you are clean. But purging is like a strange word to talk about a tree.
It means to prune the thing.
Because the pruning cleans the tree from every sucker, every little parasite, every little thing that's living over the life of that tree. So he said, now you are purged, in other words, you are pruned by the word I've spoken to you. The word that comes out of my mouth, it prunes you. That's one way he prunes them too. Clean you up! It means to cleanse of filth, impurity. Especially about trees and vines. From useless shoots to prune. And the same word clean, they come from the same verb there. It means like a vine cleansed by pruning and so fitted to bear fruit. In other words, God will take the word and clean you up so you can become fruitful. God will find things in your life that hinder your fruitfulness. And God is, now remember the husbandman. Christ is not the husbandman, Christ is the vine. My Father is the husbandman. My Father is the husbandman. And the husbandman, but if you in Christ and you connected with Christ, the Holy Spirit going to ensure that you be fruitful. And the Holy Spirit will be operating with the word. And when the Holy Spirit walk into the vineyard, oh man, he look over that vine. He is looking for anything that hindering the fruitfulness in that vine. He is inspecting every tree. Every branch in that tree. You're bearing fruit, you're bearing fruit, you're bearing fruit, you're bearing fruit. He's going through to see what they're bringing forth. Last week I come, he said, I see that one. I preached that 2 years ago. I see you're still here. You ain't bearing no fruit. He goes through the tree. I'm going to give you scripture and something. Example and show you. Because Jesus is teaching that. Listen. Abide in me. Or in other words, remain in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Except it abide in the vine. Too much of people just coming to church. They're attending church. They're not abiding in him. That is why what little they call fruit, after a while it gets corrupt. You know what I'm saying? But if some people have a little moral life, they gotta bring forth faith to shake the viper in the fire. They gotta bring forth forgiveness to forgive the brother and sister. They gotta bring forth but a humility. They gotta humble themselves to the word yet. They're still trying to evade and make, you know, all kind of defenses and everything else. Much more what they call fruit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness. Is that right? Faith, virtue, temperance. Nine fruit. Nine gifts. Five offices. This tree is behind all that. And he's cultivating a tree that ain't gonna be a little preacher in the pulpit and the rest of the people soaking up that light in the collation, isn't he? He's cultivating a tree where the Holy Ghost in the pulpit and the Holy Ghost in the pew, and every man is operating in the spirit that come from that tree, because every man is dealt a measure of faith, every man of a measure of the Holy Spirit, every man getting the life from the same source. I am the vine, you and the branches. Abide in me. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. He is saying, you abide in me, you can't bear no fruit. You'll be fruitless. You'll be barren. Peter says that, what? Be partakers of this divine nature that you will not be
barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't have faith, you don't have virtue, you don't have knowledge, you have temperance. What do you know about God? Nothing. You don't have godliness, you don't have worldly kindness, you don't have patience. What do you know about God? See? Look beyond the church this morning. I waited upon God for this. I believe I have a word from Him this morning. And straight to this church. I believe all this from Joseph starting up there is holding this down to a place on this message here this morning. This fruitful bough by the well this morning, with branches to go over the wall. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Think of it. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. From fruit that the branch get purged to bring forth more fruit. Because every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that will bring forth more fruit. Now he says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. He said, no more can you except you abide in me. Without me you can do nothing. He's showing you that without his life in you, without the Holy Spirit, without his divine nature in you, just in a church membership, just in a church attendance, you can do nothing. You'll be fruitless. And the danger of being in the vine and being fruitless. And if there is anything that's hindering your fruitfulness, purging does have to come to clean you, because only impurity that hinders your fruitfulness. That's something that's strangling the life. That you have to release the life from that influence, that creeper, that thing in the life, that disease. You have to cut that thing out. Watch this now. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. Verse 2 as what? Every branch that beareth not fruit, take it away. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. That is exactly what happens in the husbandman pruning a vine. Do you understand the text you're reading now? He introduced the subject, I am the vine, the true vine, my father is the husbandman. Why bring the husbandman? He wants to deal with the methods of cultivating the vine. Because that's the work of the husbandman. The vine can't be of itself, not be cultivated. The church can't bring forth nothing if God don't attend to it. If God don't place people in position. If God don't weed out things from among the church. If God don't break things around life that crippling lives. If God don't clean up people from disease that they have. The church will just be a wild thing. People dress wild, talk wild, act wild, live wild. It'll become a wild vine. It'll become a degenerate plant. But what God has? God has a husbandman. Paul says, you are God cultivated fear. We are God husbandman. One sown, one water. Is that right? That's a law of agriculture. You know that? And that represents what was Adam's job? To dress the garden and to keep it? What was the garden? The bride. My wife. That's the garden, Solomon says. That he planted. That's a mystery of himself. He put seed in it. That she got pregnant with seed. And she began to bear. Is that right? Under his atmosphere, his climatic conditions that is necessary for the growth and development so she can bring her fruit to perfection. What kind of children are we to bring? Pants dropping off the waist. Out in dove in the world. No, we are to bring forth a crop, amen, that will come to perfection. Jacob had 12 natives there.
But one was a fruitful bull by the well. One was a fruitful bull by the well. And that one had what it takes to save everybody else. Is that right? That one can catch the mystery of God. That one can take the persecution without retaliation. That one no one to be a prisoner before he came into power from his king. What is the desire in your heart? When you pray, have your own way in my life, Lord, what do you mean? How far and how much boundary does give him? How much liberty does give him? If he said that, you understand what that means when you pray so. He said, that means I'll come in the shares next week. The ministry of the shares. And the pruning hook. The pruning knife. And things that you're attached to are going to cut it off from you. Because hindering your fruitfulness, I'm the husbandman. Do you understand? Can you say yes, Lord? Oh my. Think of it, friends. We'll pray and ask God for things. That's what we have to pray to understand from the word. The word will show you first who you are, what you are, what he has made you, what he expects of you. And when you know he expects that of you, you gotta understand what your experience is. You like to be watered. You like to be sowed with seed. But you like when you come in and put in a hook? Like to get your fruitful? Putting seed in the ground don't get your fruitful. Putting water in the seed don't get your fruitful. It's the pruning, the purging the branch that gets your fruitful. A man is like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in his season. What is the bright season? What is the fruit she's to be in this hour? Has she not been planted by the rivers, plural of water, singular? 9 gifts of one Holy Spirit. 9 fruits of one Holy Spirit. Isn't that where she's been planted? 7 seals. By the way, in Revelation 8. 10 to 11, the fruitful bow planted by the well. Revelation 10, 1, where the book is open, where Malachi for dig and found them 7 tenders, he opened up that rock and found something inside. And he planted the church, looking on this, planted them there. Where you planted? By a broken system? Is that a denomination? That root's not supposed to be there. Watch. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. You ever see a life cut off and then something wither? Dry up. He said, your leaves shall not wither. Life dry up. Because they come to church. After this, I come with no Bible. After they come to church, they can't raise their hand and praise God no more. After coming to church, and after 10 minutes in the sitting side, then I walk aside. Give her water 4 times. You know what I'm saying? It's within, within. Why? The husbandman know the season pass. Because remember, it starts in spring, it is reaped in autumn, in fall. He stripped that thing naked and bare. Let me take my time here a little bit. Want to run ahead, but I want to take my time here. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They had a life at one stage in the vine, but they end up in the fire. They. First they get taken away from the vine. Next thing they get wither. Next thing men gather them. And next thing they're in the fire. Look how it travel. He show you where it travel. And all because of what? It wasn't bearing fruit.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, how many know the first person this happened to since Jesus spoke this in John 15, 7 years, happy right? So this, you don't have to be no scholar for this. They that little housewife or widow who had faith. She had no fancy house, she had no fancy car, she had no fancy nothing. She up in the mountains making $200 a year. But she had faith in the commission. And a heart off of the things of the world. And she knew the hour. And she knew that was the word. And she could recognize God. In a man there testifying about fire that God's in there. And she was in that church under that kind of ministry. Because he was a fruitful bough planted by the well. He was a Joseph in this age. He had a sevenfold mystery. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. He that do bear fruit is not my disciple. He is taken away and cast away. But he that bear much fruit, my Father is glorified, the husbandman. Because the husbandman is happy. He's honored. Why? Look at fruit you bear. You are fruitful bough. Verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now I want to read a couple of scriptures with you, just to lay a background, to let you see and give you an understanding that this was not a random thing. When Jesus stood there speaking of the vine, he was unfolding a mystery that laid in the Bible, and he was now applying to himself and the church, because that comes shadow the substance. Let's turn quickly to Psalms 18. Now each one of this group that I'm going to read here is a message by itself, but I'm just reading it to enlighten you to the fact how God used this illustration of the vine, this parable, this mystery that related to him and his people. And you can get an insight into what he expects of us and how he must deal with us to fulfill his expectation. And when his expectation is not met, how disappointed he is when we don't bear what he planned us to bear. Because God planned this church here, he planned this church for a purpose. God needs to congregate the people. And this is a plan for ornamental wood. This plan to bring forth fruit to God. I must bear the fruit for the age. The things promised in this age to show is God's church that have God's life. Is that right? But a lot of people gathered the race track this morning. A lot of people gather out in different places this morning, playing bingo and everything else. So gathering people, you know, you could use all kind of methods to gather people for different purposes. But what God is interested in, not just people gathering, God is interested in people planted in a certain place, abiding in a certain place, bringing forth a certain thing that honors him and glorifies him. And only he could plant that, and he himself planted a church that's going to bring fruit to perfection. That Joseph was a type of that church, of a branch coming forth at the end of the seventh age from the root. There's many branches grafted in, but God promised there's going to be a restoration. One going to come up the root in the last days. She is going to come to perfection. There'll be a church come to perfection in the last days to bring the resurrection. And we are believing we are part of that branch. And if we are part of that branch, become fruitful, I want you to show you the methods that he employed in Joseph's life to make him a fruitful bow, he'll have to employ it in our life. I'm showing you by these scriptures, it's the same methods yet to apply down through the age. Psalms 80, verse 8. David in the Psalms is speaking to God. He's looking at the condition of the nations, of Israel. He's crying out. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. That's Israel. He took Israel to Egypt. And then he drove out them from Canaan and he put Israel in Canaan. God took us out from the world and he brings us into the messenger and plant us. Is that right? Thou preparest room before it and this caused it to take deep and fill the land. The branches reach out in the region and all. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. And the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. But remember when it's coming, he said, what? Your course shall be to the going down of the sun, to the Lebanon, to the great Euphrates, even to the sea coast. So he began planting the land and she filled the whole land, even extended her boundaries. And she was known in the earth that this people who were like slaves in Egypt, in bondage, look at them here today with the temple. Look at Solomon standing there. When the queen of the south came and she saw that tree, look how fruitful that tree was. A golden age for them. But then when Nebuchadnezzar came, because it didn't bring no fruit. Look at the condition. Look when the Assyrians came and took the 10 tribes, the northern tribe first. Look what it was. You get what I'm saying? Why hast thou then broken down her hedges? David in prayer, he cried out, Lord, why? So that all they which pass by the way do pluck her. She's unprotected. She had hedges. She had protection. God was her protection. The day the church loses its protection, Satan will walk in the church and pick up this one, like Nebuchadnezzar walk in Israel and take up all the vessels, take up all the goodly princes, take up everything and take them to Babylon. Is that right? And burn the thing flat. Then they have to hang the harp on the willow. They have to sing a different song. Because all their song related to God, and no temple, and no priest, and no sacrifice, and no Passover, and no first fruits. They have no Pentecost, because they have planted no harvest. They're mixing brick and mortar, and kind of doing different kind of work. But in their own land, the environment and the occupation was bringing forth the mysteries of God. That went back in the worship to this God. Three times a year, they go up to Jerusalem. But now they're in Babylon. See? So they had no protection. He said they bore out of the wood. Wild beast is power. That wasted. And the wild beast of the field that devoured. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. You can imagine a church that once had the Holy Spirit. Where people used to come from everywhere and gather early and pray and under expectation. And when they sing this song, they had love and they had unity and everything else. Then you see that church get broken and get divided. And you see politics start to reign supreme. You see enmity, strife and contention, covetousness. You see immorality. You see the standard address and go. Isn't that what denomination became? Didn't the Nicolaitans come and take the church? Remember sin can stand among men one time? Remember in those days, every branch that wasn't bearing fruit, Ananias and Sapphira, he pulled it off. Hymenus and Philippus, he pulled it off. Man in Corinth, Paul said, loose into the devil, pulled it off. Why? They were keeping the vine clean. Keeping the church to be a cultivated fruit field. To be a fruitful vine. Is that right? But then what became? In Pergamos, it married the world after it gets used. In Thyatira, she was drunk with the blood of the real believers. Get political. The church that started on Pentecost. Why? Where the protection went. The protection went. The hedge went. But there's been a restoration. How many of you did your restoration? It couldn't come until the last day messenger came. He sowed the seed of the entire Bible. He's going to take half his ring. to bring that restoration, rapture in faith among the people again, and the days of Ananias and Sapphira will come back. Is that right? And the last branch that comes from the root will be at the same end of fruit the first branch bore. What hour are we in? Where are we standing? What are we looking for? Think of it, friends. We don't want Joseph here. This fruitful vine. And David is crying, look down from heaven, behold, and this is vine. And the vineyard which thy right hand had planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. He was made strong. Remember? It is burned with fire. It is cut down. Why? We're going to bring forth no fruit. What do we bring forth is what? Cut down and cast in the fire. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Crying out for restoration, crying out for original glory, crying out for the fruitfulness of the vine again, crying out for the hedges to be built back up, and the protection to come back, and sin can't stand among them no more. Crying out for husbandman with a pruning hook in his hand. Amen. With his right hand, he'll keep that thing clean and make it fruitful. No compromise with that pruning hook. That your denomination didn't have in a mess today. But God sent one Malachi for, and he didn't compromise not one word. Why? He planted to get us back to the Garden of Eden. One word broke and took us out. Had to be every word to get us back in. What it was a vine that God planted not for Israel in time. Isaiah 5, go quickly with me. Because these are my message, really. These are some background scripture I want to give you to show you so I can get to the place where I want to get to. But you can catch the concept how God is speaking about his vine. He planted his vine like the church. But the branches was cut down and ended up in the fire. Give him over to the enemy completely. Everything had passed, pluck at it. Holy Spirit was grieved away from the church. Isaiah 5, verse 1. Here's Isaiah, a prophet like Moses, singing a song like Moses sang in Deuteronomy 32. Prophetic singing. Now will I sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. In other words, a choice place with the best soil to plant that vine in a hill, a fruitful hill. How many know when you plant in the vine, you have to, the altitude must be right. You can't plant like rice in the swamp. God don't plant the church near the sewer and the filth of the world. God put it on the height. Amen. Glory. Now watch. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof. I'll take this stony heart out of you. Before this thing be fruitful. What is the man doing? Planting a fruitful hill. He's cleaning up the soil. He's making sure nothing to hinder the growth and the cultivation of this plant. He knows the untapped resources in the plant, and the plant has not yet discovered its potential to bear much fruit, to glorify the divine dresser. But the vine dresser knows the potential of the plant. He knows this is one that comes from the root. He knows this species of this tree, this vine. He knows what kind of grapes it's going to bring. He knows that when it comes, it's going to be sour grapes for this. It'll be grapes for his table. His cup will run over. He'll have stimulation. Because wine in the Bible make the heart of God merry and make the heart of man glad, the Bible says in the book of Judges. Because Christ is divine. Now watch. He's showing first all he did for this vine. Plant in a very fruitful hill. Fence it. Give it protection. Isn't that what he did for us? I'll never leave you, never forsake you, Lord, but you're always. I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward.
as the mountains are around Jerusalem, so God is around his people. Amen. Fence you and gather all the stones and take out all your stony heart, all your stony attitude, all your stony mannerism, all your rough crude ways, all your ways that need to be cut and things need to be digged out of your life. But I want to make sure you're so right that if that's going to hinder the root from going down and the root can't get into the depths, if they get got some big old stone blocking it and making just live a surface life and you won't get a little deeper, God, get them stones out there so you can get down into a place and dig deep and hold strong and abode in his strength. So now all them stony ways that you have that he can't use you in certain places, you gotta take it out to you. Get out with choices, fine. Oh, but he get the word, the kind of word he bring the best for you. Amen. Put it together in such a way to reveal the mystery of his great person and his work, Jesus Christ, among you. And he built a tower in the midst of it. And then watchmen could stand in that tower and see a fowl off, and a little fox, and a little thing that want to try to penetrate them defenses and come against that vine. Because why? Your wives shall be like a fruitful vine at the sides of thine house. We read I purposely read that one this morning again there, just for that, in the dedication. A vine. Think of that too. He's the vine, his wife is a vine too. Now watch. And also made a wine press therein, where they offer up the grapes to become wine, where it is crushed and the blood of the grape comes out. Who is he from Bosra with thy garments? Amen. And his vesture was dipped in blood. Speaking of this great one, in that great work, when he treaded the wine press alone, he had a wine press there also, and where they offer up the fruit of their labors unto God, where they bring the drink offering from. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. He said, after I take the choicest vine, planted in the most fruitful hill, after I was so patient to gather out all the stones, after I built a tower to make sure she under constant supervision and observation at all times, under his watchful care and attention, after I built a wine press right there to the other kind of bits far and away, right there from the tree to the wine press, to the wine vat, amen, to the wine cellar. Everything I did, I looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. His expectation was turned to disappointment. God, now catch this, friends. We are seeing God speaking here. Isaiah the prophet is unveiling the heart of God to a nation that was taken out of Egypt and planted in Canaan with a purpose. And God chose the place of the planting. And God himself was the husbandman, the vine dresser. And God worked tediously and describing detail all the work that he did to ensure fruitfulness from this tree. And now the harvest come, and it comes to his vine and his sour grapes. And he's disappointed. He said, now inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? God said, tell me. I come the last day message to call the church and get her ready. Tell me something I didn't do. I went 50,000 seats in one meeting. 7 truckloads, I would say 25 people in one way. Pillar of fire, come down, photograph, shoot again, dead race 8 times. cloud up in the sky where man can explain, foretold before it happened, seven seals open, had a prophet here from coast to coast and around the world, in every continent there, went out there and displayed Jesus Christ. Then raise up man to say what he said. He said, tell me what I didn't do again. Tell me what more could I do. Maybe I leave something undone. Maybe it's something that I forgot to do. Maybe you have an excuse. Maybe you could justify yourself and say, well, Lord, you didn't do so and so, and that's why I'm in this condition today. I'd be a better Christian if you had do that or do this. He said, tell me more. God had come to the end of his strength with these people. He said, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. In other words, I planned with expectation. I live out expectation. I work with objective and purpose in mind. I had a whole schedule. I was diligent about my work. I was zealous after my church. So I said, well, maybe I wouldn't be able to see that part of the vineyard. I built a tower. I said, maybe some wild boar might come and eat up a fence around. I said, maybe these thorns might hinder it. I mightn't bring forth the children. I was patient and diligent and long-suffering to take out every single stone. What does God have done for you? What does God have disappointed you with? What is the reason and the excuse why you're bringing forth what you're bringing forth, some of you? Think in your life. You satisfied what you're bringing forth? He said, I bear fruit. He said, he had bear fruit. He purged to bear more fruit. And in this is my Father glorified to bear much fruit. And that to bring much fruit unto perfection. And to be a fruitful bough. Like how there was in that first age. And I see the glory, the latter branch will be greater than the glory of the former branch. It's supposed to be more fruitful because it's spread across the whole earth. There was one little locality. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the Word. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit in the Word. Don't forget me here. I don't have a word. I'm bringing His Word. You read out the Bible yourself. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. He said, I said this point, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. Your protection going. Sickness can come around you before. Disease can get a hold of you before. You're supposed to prosper in health. Fear can come upon you because you have perfect love. There, to cast all fear. You had your word to show you who you was. Ambition no more. Because you had a word to keep you seen face to face. You look yourself in the mirror and walk away and forget what you look like. You can't retain God in your knowledge. Jesus said, I show it in the Old Testament. I show when Jesus is preaching, he said, like him in the volume of the book. And he had to preach the mystery divine because he was divine. And the new creation, in the old creation, look what it brings forth. In the new creation, it had to bring forth the reality what it's supposed to bring forth. I'm going to show the prophet preach in the last days a branch that comes from the root to bear the same fruit. Didn't he preach that? Isn't that the restoration? Isn't that a church like Joseph? Perfection! She'll be tried and tested, but she'll come to glorification. Isn't that right? Then watch the methods. I'll take away the hedge thereof. It shall be eaten up. And break down the wall
death and shall be trodden down. And I will lay waste. You know what he did? He sent the Arabians. They take Jehoshaphat, son, Jehoram, Athaliah get inside there to kill up the whole town. Is that right? Then Nebuchadnezzar them come, take the whole thing of Babylon 70 years. What was God doing? He removed everything from our nation. And he let them be trodden down. All the sacred temple, all the sacred vessels, all the sacred priests, all the sacred princes, all the young virgins, all gone. Friends, you will see things happening in your life. Every family is a vine. Every church is a vine. Every church is a branch, dispensationally speaking, with Christ's divine in seven churches. You get what I'm saying? See it personal, see it on a church, and see it dispensational. And understand the thoughts. See if you can walk around with your man-made security, heady and high-minded, taking God for granted. This is Old Testament. Denomination says it's Old Testament with the New Testament. New Testament says it taking away, there be no fruit. It cut off, it withered, men get it end in the fire. Old Testament, same thing. He's talking about his church, and here he's talking about the nation Israel. Both is the same. You seen that? Then how many of you say we do the church, we do the individual? See what we're talking about? I will take away the hedge thereof, it shall be eaten up. Breaking the word. If you're being eaten up, if you don't have no protection, if you can't keep up the devils that are coming upon you, know something wrong with your wall. Something wrong with your wall. You need a Nehemiah. You need a Nehemiah to build back that wall. But you have to take out a Babylon first before you can start to touch that wall. You get what I'm saying? Your stones end up in the rubbish because of what you went after. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. If it don't get pruned, what's going to happen? If it don't get pruned, what is going to happen? Briars and thorns. What is that? Stickers. You're grumpy. You're critical. You're negative. You're vindictive. Briars and thorns. Why? No water. That thing that can leaf. No water. That thing that can leaf. Dry and patch. Because not by the well, it's by the sewer. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain upon it. God said, even your blessings from heaven, your former latter rain, I shut it up. There are clouds without water. That is a man who boasts of a gift and he has no real gift ready. Can't bring nothing. You got to say? Can't bring no teaching rain, can't bring no blessing, can't bring nothing. So in a dry chaser, man coming through something, man talking something, man pushing some gossip, man pushing some political business, man pushing somebody idea, farming the place. Church full of argument, church full of strife, church full of debate is no longer luscious and green and something pleasant. And can give shade, and can give fruit, and something roots go deep, and something that's well watered, and something that's fruit bearing. Think, friends, we are not just called to come and sit in church. We are the very garden. We are the very vine. This is his vineyard. Think of it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. He says, see, I ain't talking agriculture. He said, the vineyard is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plants. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. He looked for righteousness, but behold a cry. You see the sour grapes? Look for man to stand for the word. Look for man to declare decisive action. Convey things by the word. Make the right decision. What is it? Compromise. Diverse weights. Deceitful weights. Bagful of deceitful weights. Man can't judge the spirit. Man can't judge the lie. Man can't judge nothing in the church. No discernment. Jeremiah 2, quickly. Gotta help me. Give me out. Turn them pages fast. Let me hear them pages still. Just want to cover this aspect of what the vine is. You can see what he's teaching. And this is giving you insight of how the vine is cultivated as well. Jeremiah 2, verses 20 and 21. For of old time I've broken the yoke. Remember Jeremiah was prophesying when? When Nebuchadnezzar was going to come to take him into captivity. And burst thy bands, and thou sinners I will not transgress. When upon every hill and under every green tree thou wanderest plainly out. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a ripe seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? My father is the husbandman. This is the husbandman talking, say, I plant you. Isaiah is the husbandman talking, say, I plant you in a fertile hill. That's the husbandman talking, that's the voice of the husbandman. My father is the husbandman. He said, took you out of Egypt, make room for you in Canaan, drive back in heaven and plant you a goodly vine. A noble vine. A ripe seed. Put you the mystery on the seven seals and seven thunders and seven trumpets and seven vials and these things. Hold right the seed of the Son of Man, the incorruptible word. Seed to bring forth a harvest in the teaching rain. Planted a right seed. So we look at the plant. Something happened with the plant. Let me get one more for you. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 15. Pretty hard, but I doubt that the Holy Spirit will want to give you it cool under a word like this. This kind of word is best saved hot. That's right. This is best saved hot, friends. Where we sweat it out. God, how I want to be a fruit in this hour. I want the right fruit. God knows my heart. I want to see it in my life. I don't just want to see. I want to see much fruit. I want the Father's this Son. I'm glorified in you. Like the Father glorified thy name. Because he is coming this hour to be glorified in his saints. And to be admired in all that I believe. And to fulfill the work of faith with power. He said, I've glorified him. I'll glorify it again. We just sing the song, Father, glorify thy name. He did it once before in the life of Malachi 4. Father, glorify him again. Yahweh has come that the bride should be glorified. In him is he glorified. Ezekiel 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, remember, Ezekiel was in Jeremiah time also.
still speaking of the same degenerate plant that was a noble vine, a holy right seed. Because it was contemporary, they were speaking at the same time, and then Nebuchadnezzar had come, God had moved on the hedge and everything else. The vineyard had been trampled. Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Apparently he was trying to intercede for the people. And God pulled him aside and said, what is the matter with you? He said, tell me, why must I save this vine? What is this vine tree more than any other tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Or will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel thereof? You know the answer? He's asking. No. Vine is useless. The only useful purpose a vine has is to bring forth fruit. To the glory of God. Because the wood can't be used for nothing. There's many trees. If it don't bear fruit and it's a barren tree, the wood can still serve a useful purpose. You could still make a bench. You could make a chair. You could kind of board up a house. You could, with the vine, you can't do nothing. It's vine. The only thing you can do is go in the fire. So this is the point God is making to him. He says, shall wood be taken the earth? You can get wood from it? No. But then you maybe get a pin then. That is another thing, you know, how you have longer they cut the old, what kind of tree that used to be? With all the little shoots on the side. And they put in the kitchen, maybe they stick with it too. Plus they used to put, hang up cup. And they would have all the different sprouts. He said, okay, you can't even put that to hang up a vessel on it. What good are we to God if we don't bring forth fruit? In other words, we have no use or to go in the fire. That's what God is saying. You catch? So when you understand that, you understand the point. Any branch in me that don't bear fruit, I take away. And men gather and go in the fire. That's the point. So you see, Jesus is not talking, he's teaching scripture. But this is in the Bible. Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoured both the ends of it, and the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Is it good for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. Because, you know, one part of Israel, 10 tribes had already gone, the Assyrians. When Nebuchadnezzar come, he come for Judah and Benjamin. The next two tribes. So the next end, a divine was being burned. He said, both end in the fire. Both being consumed. So tell me what it's good for. Because the 10 tribes are already going to captivity. These next two going. Both in the fire. Yeah. Therefore saith the Lord God, as the vine tree among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so will I give the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will set my face against them. They shall go out from one fire, and another fire shall devour them. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. This is Israel, God's own people, and he called them to Egypt and put them in Canaan land. See, sometimes they mistake these things. What you're seeing here is God's justice. What you're seeing here is God's expectation for our people he have given great privileges to. What you're seeing here is to whom much is given, much is required. What you're seeing here, God has held people accountable and responsible for the privileges that he have given to them. This is what you're seeing here. You're not seeing here, how get to with the bride? With the brides down here? That is Israel. That's God's people. Because if it's the brides down here, we bring forth much fruit and the Father is glorified. And we bring forth much fruit. Where do we bring forth? Is the relationship period? The bride is about to finish. Time for the bride to go, friends. End the time vision. Where's the perfect faith? Fruit of the perfection. Where's the perfect love? Where's the oneness of God? Where's the union? I'm talking on a personal level now.
You're in the church here, you're in the message for years. You snuck here, you directed the assembly. Where is the unit between you and God if you directed the assembly? Or are you just attending to the assembly? We're not talking about attendance now. Where's your protection? Is your hedge around you? Where are you planted? How do you handle your trial when they hate you and persecute you and shoot at you? Are you abiding in your strength? Or are you grumbling? Are you complaining? Is resentment rising up against the persecutors? Or you can say, God, send me ahead of you. You meant for evil, God meant for good. Don't think of yourself that way. I have to go through this. My life is predestinated. Nothing happened by chance. I understand God will go through that. Where are you walking, friends? This is what we're talking about here. Same message, but different angle here. How many know the modern day mirror don't have it now? They don't make it so no more. Today, there's an interest in how you look in front. Long ago, the old bureau had two wing glass. You pull so you can see in the back here. Here's the front, and you see in back too. A lot of people back parts need fixing, exposed, all how. And in front, they're looking good because they need to come in, we can see by themselves. You get what I'm saying? They need somebody to show them all around. The whole person. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. In other words, you will know if I am God, I can't compromise. If I am the righteous judge, then the sentence has to be carried out. So Babylon, 70 years, then you're coming back. You throw Joseph down in Egypt, okay, you're going to go down there. I'll save you from the famine. But then you're going to 400 years down there for what you do. You're going to be slave because you sell him to be a slave. Since you're only put into slavery, I put you back into slavery 400 years. For that crime, it has to be worked out. What you sow, you reap. Be not deceived, God is not mock. He said, but I'll bring you back here again, there's restoration, sure. But after purification by trial, after I purge your branch, you'll bring fruit, because I am bringing no barren thing to plant over here. I ain't bringing no thing to go back to the heartache no more. No. Is God the same? Is God jealous over his church a day like that? Then if we are God vine, can we see as divine what he is expecting? The divine is men. The pleasant branches is men. Can we look and see? Are we abiding in him? Are we becoming strong? Is our hands strengthened by the mighty God of Jacob? Is our fruit pleasant? Are we a fruitful bowl? Are we by the well? Or are we bringing out stickers? Or are we bringing out fruit? Thank you. Hosea 10:1. I just read for you. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. He's an empty vine. Barren for God, but fruitful for your own self. Instead of seeking the kingdom of God and righteousness, and nothing shall be added. You seek all other things and forget God. Labor in for me that perisheth not, storing up treasures with thieves that break through and steal. Oh my. Now catch this now. Quick. God help me. I need some direction here. I wanted to lay them scriptures in for a purpose. Okay, let me drop this quote in here. Maybe I should drop this quote in first too. Plant in the vine and where to plant. Message Brother Rampage. Plant in the vine and where to plant. In St. John 15, the 15th chapter, the first verse, Jesus said, our vine is connected together. There's a reason why you use vine and branch. Because you see, all the branches, though the vine has so many branches, yet it all comes from one root. And it's one sap that's going through the biggest branch to the smallest leaf. And all is connected and unified in that vine. And this sap is the one life that energizes the entire vine and all branches. And he's saying, I am the vine. This life is because I live, you shall live also. And if you abide in me, and I abide in you, you know what kind of fruit you can bring forth? You can ask for your will. You can ask for your will. You can ask and don't doubt. If he asks $1 million right now, fall in your lap. She said, but I'm getting excited myself. Hey, you're trying to be joking with me? But I'm teasing me. Is that what she said? No. She knew what she was in there. That faith in her heart knows if I ask for that, but I don't want $1 million. I ain't like somebody from here lusting for more money. Sure, I hardly get by, but I've got me with contempt. I have great gain. I've joined my heart. I'm happy up here. I ain't saying, God, I'm in the woods living here. I should be living down in the city. No. I'm happy right here. God is with me. And God put me in a good church. Here's a man standing here with the word. Oh, my. He rejected by the organization, but that's the word. And she's happy. Sure, Mrs. Sinner, we'll will change. Call for Edith, she will come out. He said, Edith happy too. Edith happy too. So, oh God, what can I ask? He said, here's your old daddy and mommy, they can come back young right now. Oh, I'd love to see them come back young. But they can be younger than me. And that will fit right. They don't want to come back young. They live their life already and serve the purpose. They bring forth me and I bring forth the children. And then you'll be not promising the resurrection. What shall I ask? And the two unsaved boys laughing right there. Said, Brother Bram, I want the salvation of my two boys. Hallelujah! The Holy Spirit trapped in the room. He said, that woman is so quiet and so reserved and so composed. But that day you're going to hear she screaming as 2 city blocks away. When the Holy Ghost come in that house there. Amen! He said, think of it. God, remember that woman there making that little sacrifice. And God come back in the room that day on it. And God anoint her to say that nothing but the truth. When she hear him talking about the spoken word, the deep calling to the deep. A little old woman there could hardly do that right. But something in her heart, she know greater works than these is for this hour. She know that the hour for the third Paul, the manifestation of the sons of God. She have been understand what theologians couldn't understand. When the Holy Ghost telling them boys, he said, did you see? The money is temporal. The healing is temporal. All the other things is temporal. Amen. Father and mother said, die again. He said, but the salvation of the two boys is eternal. He said, she asked for something eternal. Her heart was off of the things of the world. If you abide in me, she was in the vine. Because here's a big branch. She was one of the great on the clusters of that little church planted at 8th and Penn Street. You catch that? You catch that? Had a cluster. Each one of them had the blood in them that the life of divine produced in them. And she was one. He said, how many here when he spoke on the river? He said, oh yes, Hati. The right from there. He said, they were there that day. When people were fainting, the light came down. She knew from a little young boy preacher. But he had to hand somebody the Bible to read the text for him. And she reminds her in a church like that. Because you know God is there. She got to be an old woman. And he got to be an old man in that pulpit. And she knew that's still the same God right there. Is that right? The day you find people so shallow they can hardly retain God in their knowledge for 2 months. Here's a woman sitting for 30 years. Grew up in the tabernacle of that word. She see the churches open. She see Daniel 7 weeks. She see the 7 seals open. She said, he and Jack come back. I want to get them trumpets and tongues and vials and tie together to reveal them. To follow the 7 seals and the 7 churches. She's all in the tabernacle. She hears like a token and statue of a perfect man and Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And all them things sitting there in the tabernacle. Right.
said, just the other day, Brother Neville, we have communion. And that little boy with his hand on the elder's head, and he's praying a blessing on Brother Neville. Oh, my. Glory. Glory. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Planting the vine where they planted. Now, the branch and the vine is connected together. And God always tried to get a people that he could so dwell in, that he could show his glory among his people. Man's a failure. Always will be. He's a failure to start with. He's always a failure. God in his predestination, in his own great infinite mind, planned the plan to put a real vine down. He planted on this earth the vine, the righteous vine. Not a denomination, not a church, not a creed, but a man himself made flesh. And he manifested his peace, his power. The great angel of God, the great Jehovah was with him. And in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That was divine. He said, God planted it down on it. Man. And men did not believe in him and disbelieve him because he would not cooperate with their creed. Finally, they led him out of Calvary. There that blood shall have broken with the precious Son of God and the body which Jehovah had lived. There came forth a vine with its roots in glory, with its branches on the earth, to produce a church of the living God that would show forth his resurrection and power. He was divine, coming from glory, planted here. But out of him now is coming forth a church that would show forth his glory and power. He's opening St. John 15 first. This is what he's talking about. Planting the vine or where they're planting. Who is these men and women that would deny the church, the vine of the living God, the never failing presence of the Lord Jesus in his church, to live and to show forth his predestinated branches that he caught before the foundation of the earth and swore by an oath that he reached them up? Who is these men and women to deny Jesus? Because where is the root? Where is the branch? I pray thee tell me before they came forth in their season. In the root. We have chosen before the foundation of the world, and it put forth seven branches. Seven church ages, and each age the husbandman came in and pruned the branch, and they had a fruit, promises that there was to bear in every age. But in the last age, it will come to perfection, it'll come to adoption, it'll come to glorification, like Joseph. It'll be a fruitful bow. All hell would be against it, but we'll have both strong. Oh, my, think about the things. And his church today with the glory of the resurrection living in her. I'm divine, you are the branches. His church today with the glory of the resurrection living in her. I'm divine, you are the branches. Every time the heart beats, the blood flotates to every member of the body. And every time the loyal heart of God bleeds, it beats, it pulsates through the name of Jesus Christ in the church. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But God has determined that his vine won't die. So he plucked it up out of those creeds and fills it with the Holy Ghost and comes down in Jesus Christ's name. Here, that church can pulse it and live and enjoy and feel the presence of the living God, watching him move and do the things that he did when he was here on earth. Why? His branches, his connection, his roots, his beginning was God. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was a world, he was with God. He was the root and the offspring of David, the morning star who lived the valley. That he was. His roots are wrapped around God, around the throne, around the kingdom of God. His roots are wrapped. His life spread forth to the earth. And he gave his life that he might go back to the roots and pulsate again to bring forth branches out of that vine, which is his church, showing forth that the same results that he did when he was here on earth, and make him the same yesterday and forever. Then he goes and talks about the well. He said, if you knew how close you were to the fountain of life, I'd give you waters that you wouldn't come here to draw. I'll transplant you, you Samaritan. I'll bring you, you sinner, that's an unbeliever and doesn't believe in him. If you only let me pluck you up this morning, he said, I'll plant you by the rivers of water. If you are ordained to be a vine and you dung in the sewer and you plant in the swamp, and you plant there where a crab climbing up on your branch, and you plant but right next to all them oyster with all that cholera and all the sewer water and everything down in that swampy place there, the filth of the world where all this stench run off and go down there, some little shell life or something,
He said, let me root you. That woman had 5 husbands in her life. Is that right? And she come by that old man-made cistern looking for water with a pot. But the fountain of living water, Revelation 10:1 was right there. And here she was, Revelation 10 11. But, and look where her roots was. But he waited there because he was ready to do some transplanting that morning. He was ready to do some plucking up and some transplanting that morning. He knew what she was thirsting for. He went to get to a place where she'll never thirst again. Where her leaves will never wither. It will have no one bug, one blight upon her. Oh my! If you don't let me pluck you up, I'll plant by the water. I'll put you in a position by the bottom of the Holy Ghost. He was planted by the well. I show you Wednesday night who the well was, who the wall was, and who the vine was. He who is the vine is the well and the wall. Hallelujah! And Joseph was a fruitful bough from that vine. Is that right? Now catch this now. So plant you by the bottom of the Holy Ghost. How many baptism of the Holy Ghost is what I tell them? How many the Holy Ghost recognize the position of the word? How many the new birth shows you who you are? You recognize your position, not somebody else's position. Not Revelation 10:7 position, Revelation 8:11 position, or Revelation 11:3 position. You recognize your position. She, bride, branch, who is to bear that fruit. Amen. Glory. Revelation 10:1, that's the baptism. That's the Holy Ghost, that's the great seal. That's the capstone coming down. If you just let me pluck you up this morning, you'd be a good branch. You don't belong in that wild vineyard. You belong over here. So let me pluck you up and plant you. You begin for that old irritable life, always complaining, always murmuring. You begin for that life, always full of fear and doubt. Can't get faith for healing. You begin for that old church life, up today and down tomorrow. You begin for that life. But they terrify you almost to wear something proper and decent. Yet you could fit into all them sinful and godly clothes and think you're looking nice. Hey, remember, you'll be plucked up from them worldly fashions and all that sensuality and all that filth in your mind and plant you with decency and holiness and make a lady out of you. Take you from the swamp and put you in the altitude. Put some altitude in your life that you can get some attitude. Amen. Hallelujah! And you can get to a place where your water could run off. You flood those days there, and you're in the flood and you can't move. And your foundation being undermined. You don't belong in a wild vineyard. Let me pluck you up and plant you in the name of In my name, by the side of the rivers, every tributary of his word. Every tributary of his word. Let me plant you here. Aren't you seeing all the tributaries of the word here this morning? Yeah. I'm bringing from Genesis to Revelation here. I'm bringing from the Old Testament down to the New Testament. I'm bringing from Genesis all the way to the 11. Yeah. Can't you understand? I will plant you by the rivers of water, one God. And you'll bring forth your fruit in your season, your leaves shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. And whatever you do will prosper. In other words, God could bless it. God could be identified. What you're doing has to be hidden in the dark, like some night creature, like some owl. No. It could be done in the light, because I have nothing to hide. You're transparent, you're clean, you're honest. Your life is an open book. Here's a lamp lit and put on a lampstand. You have no skeleton in your closet. A man under your bed. No. You have something real. You have something real in your heart. You have Jesus. You're planted right. Just let me pluck you up this morning. You'll be a good branch. I will plant by the rivers of one water, one God. You bring forth fruit in your season. This kind of fruit. You'll stand when there's no other place to stand. You'll stand anyhow. You go cry and say, oh God, my brothers to me. Look at my sisters to me. I'm up in prison. You see them? They're so spiteful. Look at me. I know I've got God in my life. I first take my God to you. No. You're singing in the prison. You're prospering in the prison.
helping people in the prison. Glory be to God. Let me pluck you up. Would you let me pluck you up? You will be plucked up this morning. Plant you by this water. You don't have to run to those creed places and denominational places to find it. You can't find it here anyhow. Let me pluck you up by this old dry well here. That you have to take tin buckets and rattle and fuss and drink a little and come back and drink a little. Turn on that TV. Get a little excitement in your life. My goodness. That's all the excitement you get? Open your Bible and get more excitement than that. Open your heart to the Word and get more excitement than that. Otherwise, when the storms, the spiritual Ivan come and blow over you after the weather prophet track him and say, coming to you, and you're unprepared, find yourself in desolation then. Find yourself in shambles then. But God will move your hedge. But if you abide in the vine, you've got to ask what you will. Let the storm go up where it comes from and sun of God, sunshine for 4 days. If you're abiding in the vine. Oh. I'll give eternal life joy. Just like a well bubbling up into everlasting life. Let me do that for you. Could you hear the? I'm reading, but could you hear the same Holy Spirit saying that? Because I read, but I'm hearing Him reading it through me. Let me do that for you. Let me pluck you up by this dry old well here. Let me do that for you. Christ said, Lumen the sinner, and He says the very same thing to the church this morning. You know there's a God. You believe there's a God, but in your afflictions, something cut you off. There's no spiritual joy. In your testing, you can't boast strong. Your hand is weak. Wait, the mighty God of Jacob to make your hand strong. To shoot the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Oh my. Now quickly now. Get them some personal things here now quickly. I lay my background here. Read my quote. Read my scriptures. Let me get them to a place, you know, and talk, you know, like a father, like a vine dresser to a vine. In this vineyard. My. You're under the pruning hook. You're under the pruning knife and the shears this morning. Why? Because you're ordained, you have not chosen me. I have chosen you and ordained that you should bring forth fruit. And your fruit should remain. And your fruit should remain. No palmer won't going to come in on your fruit. You ain't going to bring forth no fruit and cast it forth untimely that you can't come to perfection. It'll get ripened in the presence of the S.O.N. Now let me teach you something here, a little bit about cultivation of vine. To grasp this, to preach this, I went back and began to study the natural vine, how it grows, to get the thoughts that Jesus had in his mind that he was communicating to the church in that hour. Because he's teaching about union, he's teaching about oneness. He's teaching about the connection between himself and elected predestined believers and the energy and the fruitfulness that comes out of that intimate relationship. He's connected, he's united. Because those are elected branches that was in the root that came out and manifested in its designated decreed time and season. There were attributes. Like we were attributes in his mind. But we all had a time and a season and an age to come forth. And we had a certain way to manifest in the day that we come forth. And we had a certain message to receive, a certain type of water given to bring that type of fruit. And only those from the root, the elected, predestined, chosen and predestined unto the adoption, the perfection, the maturing, the statue of a perfect man like Joseph was. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, Ephesians 5. To the statue of a perfect man, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 1. To the fullness that filleth the all in all.
Ephesians, the mystery of the body of Christ, the branches in the vine. Colossians 1, the vine. Colossians and Ephesians, the vine and the body, and the branches, the head and the body. The headstone and the pyramid. The same. Follow. He's teaching here also, apart from the union between the vine and the branches, the oneness that exists, the connection. Because remember, this is not stuck in branches. This is branches that grow out from the root. In other words, he's showing there's two classes of Christians set forth here. Isn't that so? Two categories of branches in the vine. One that don't bear fruit, that have to be taken out. And one that beareth fruit. It's not that there was in Christ before the foundation of the world, not that. The connection, when you look at the vine here, it is look like they're all in. Because they all have some connection. This one connection is like eagle bell buckle. This next one connection is the committee friend 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? This one come over with another purpose and objective. This one looking for a nice nest to roost in. They look like they connected the vine, but they connected the vine. The life don't reflect. The testimony don't influence. They're not salty. They're not living an overcoming life. They're always failing, always up today and down tomorrow. So it shows that they don't have that energy to bear fruit. Something is strangling the sap from filling that branch and empowering that branch to make it fruit bearing. It's full of leaf, but no fruit. It cursed a fig tree like that one time. Is that right? Next man coming, he said, cut it down! Why cut it down? Why do you have all this good soil and minerals and nourishment in the soil and it bear nothing? I ain't planting a firewood or ornamental wood. I planted to bear fruit. God called you in this message. God chose you as elect in this age. If you are predestined, you are predestined to obtain an inheritance, Ephesians says. To come into a place, in a position in the Holy Ghost that He has dealt you a measure that you, by your measure, the body fitly joined and compacted together for the more effectual work of the body. So when the body look for that support from you, it can draw that faith, it can draw that support, it can draw that strength, and the body can serve its purpose. God, when God is designing the body, you as not a cosmetic part, you as a necessary part in that body. If you ain't see your life that deep and your identification that deep and your association that deep, you're not floating around. You're not floating around the church. But he talking about something you plant, something you cultivate, something you water, something you're disappointed when you didn't bear the fruit. In the time of fruit bearing, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and where the fruit? Well, can I go and offer a drink offering to God without sour grape? That wildlife? Could I worship God with that? Oh my goodness! People's mind is being darkened and alienated from the life of God. You know why? They see in church and not the word. How could you walk in the word like that and then live anyhow and then see you in the church? It's impossible! You see, an earthly human thing. The church is heavenly in its calling, in its designation, chosen Christ before the foundation of the world. Consider your calling, brethren. It's a heavenly calling you call you with. All of the Father hath given me will come. No man can come to my Father first for them. Those he found you predestinate. Is that right? You can't bring them to church. I live nearby the church, so that you guys come or join, or I want to join all your church. My goodness. That is when the vine becoming degenerate. It can't even think right about what it is and what God talks about it suppose is. actually qualify a Christian loosely? I said, I'm a Christian. What do you mean? You want to say you're not Hindu? Is that what you want to say? And you are more idol than everybody else? Who are you convincing? You know what I'm saying? And you have no resurrection faith. Were you hoping you'll come back to something else in your next life? Different? Where are you going to come? So you say a Christian, what do you mean? See, friends? Friends, get in the word. Let the word filter your thinking. Let the word cleanse your heart. You are made clean by the word I have. Made clean. You are purged. You are cleansed from all filthiness and everything else that hinders your fruitfulness. In other words, by the word I'm speaking, it will get supposed to get you fruitful. And the Father will be glorified. Because you'll be fulfilled the purpose. Because outside we don't bear fruit. What is good for? Tell me what. We can make something out of it? We can put on a concept. You'll get people saved. That wouldn't even mean nothing. The whole song system will fall apart. They go burst, they could cast out the right note. And when they don't sing, nobody inspired that by dry hand or anointing silence. Went through the motion. You gotta abide in the vine. Abide, you have to remain inside him. And then he has to abide in you too. More than most plants, the vine needs. Now I'm going to spend a time here to tell you about what divine is in the natural. We can catch it spiritually, what he's teaching, and bring out some of the points. When he says, purge the branch to get more fruit bearing, the methods he employ, the methods of husbandry or vine dressing, to make something that has potential to bear more, but in really bearing its full potential. But he knows what it's going to take to get its fruit ripe and get the beer in the required amount and the quality that's supposed to come out of our life. In other words, God, if you are a believer in this day, God knows that Matthew 11 will come out of you. God knows John 14 will come out of you. God knows 2 Peter 1 14 will come out of you. God knows 1 Corinthians 12 will come out of you. And you say, I'm a believer, but I have faith. But I have virtue. But I never have wisdom. But I never have faith for healing. Well, I never can forgive the brother. Then what are you? What are you? He said, more than most plants, the vine needs a husband, man, a vine dresser. More than most plants. Get this now. The vine cannot stand upright like the rest of fruit trees. Woo! The vine. No, you may not know a grapevine, but you know about vine plants. Many of you know the local vine plants. Is that stand up right? It can. Catch this now. But it requires a skillful hand to guide its pliant branches. Pliant means you could bend it, you could twist it, you could kind of work it. Because that's the nature of the vine. It's like a piece of mango wood. You could bend it. You could twist it this way. You could force it this way. You could tie it onto a stake here. You could nail long part it here to get it to run the way you want it to run. We getting somewhere now? They have to grow it. And if you look at all the horticultural words that they have for it. I'm giving it as a local picture. They put it, I see it already in Trinidad and Tobago. That's what we mentioned in Ukraine there. They have a, right where we stayed there, they had a grapevine right there. They have a system of wires and stakes and different things that they have it set up so the plant can run on it. Because that's the nature of the plant. So, because it can't stand up upright, the husbandman knows this thing could bear. And this thing is one of the greatest of all the plants that God made. This is one of the greatest of plans. That's why it was a mystery of Christ. When he came, he said, I am the vine, and my church, predestined like church, is the branches. And he's unveiled that mystery. But watch this now. The set of this system of sticks and wires, because this is necessary for the growth and the development and the production of the fruit. Because, you know, it can, that vine, sometimes you need to be held up. Because Joshua and Caleb bring a bunch of grapes that 2 men have to carry. And something at this time, straight, a branch, holding a big cluster of grapes like that. You have to have somewhere to run and hold on to hold that. So you keep that fruit in the presence of the sun. So the vine dresser, he knows how to cultivate this vine. So in the end, he can get the fruit that has the capability and the capacity to bear for him. And he knows methods to get it mature and to get it increased. In other words, God knows his church. And all of us are a branch in that vine. And Joseph was a fruitful bone. He was from Abraham's stock. Is that right? God called one man and planted him in Canaan. And now they even come to Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob come 12 branches. And Joseph was a fruitful one. And down through 7 church ages, God now, we see the first little small branch, Malachi 4. And we see what he produced. It had nobody in 7 church ages produced what he produced. Is that right? Is this the kind of purging he had to go through? You see the thing that was hindering his fruitfulness? Billy, my mother real vexed, you have to kill me, Mary. Mary? Billy had to listen to my mother say, I know mommy do it nice. And you remember that day you afraid to talk to mommy. You make me talk to mommy. And you wouldn't talk to daddy. It come back on him. You try not to face mommy there, but you had to face mommy here. So when you get all them invitations to go and preach. And mommy said to her first, kill my daughter among that trash. But I call, you're coming on this game for the revival. I can't come again. Why? Some unforeseen circumstances. Well, we'll discuss it later on. I don't have time right now to tell you why I can't come. Embarrassed to see my mother-in-law won't let me come. Say, you're preaching the mother-in-law, you come. Oh, I don't understand what you're talking about. But that vine had the potential to bear St. Mark 11:23 and John 14:12. To bear 1 Corinthians 12 and 2 Peter 1. That vine had the potential. And the husbandman knew. By 1963, grape season, and 7 angels appointed come on February 28th, and you know in shape. When I watch the time and I know how long it will take to grow, I have to start a prune from now. I have to start a prune from now. And he pruned Hope off, and he pruned Sharon off. Is that right? Can make him more fruitful. Can make him more fruitful. Then try to blow his brains out. And the angel come now. And so I take the word in the cave. And so I do with him to take fears and doubts and inferiority complexes out. To make him more fruitful. Purchased by the word out of the mouth. Purchased by adversity. Is that right? Sometimes when you get in purge, you think God killing you. Had a vine from Judah. Had a branch in that family called Elimelech. And but a little famine come and take up Naomi, Malon and Chilion, they head down to Moab for greener pastures. And when he went down there, he didn't realize he was transplanting the vine that God had ordained Israel to bring in Canaan. He came back in Moab. But he wasn't working in continuity with the laws and the principles of the vine dresser. He removed it out of its place. It was designed to flourish and bear fruit. And when they went down there, God started to purge. And the vine dresser walked in the house one morning with his shears. Clack! Elimelech went. Come back in 2 weeks after with the pruning knife. Marlon went, Chilion went. Just that little branch, Naomi, coming forth. And she said, oh God, the Lord had dealt bitterly with me. Don't call me Naomi, mean pleasant. Call me Mara. See? Yet out of all our bitterness and pain, in the end of the book, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, she get a little boy in she bosom, a little grandson. Through she little methods of cultivation, shall I not find rest for you? She saw that Gentile branch need to be grafted in that stock. Is that right? And she get Obed. And when she get Obed, out of that pain, and she still with bitterness, and all the pruning at that state that leave the family so naked and bare, and like things get so worse and hard, the husband never seen fruitfulness. Husband never seen a big harvest coming. He got out of that little one boy in she bosom, that would put in she bosom, Obed. And they say, Naomi, he better do than 10 sons give. They had vision. They understood the methods of the vine dresser. From he come David, and from David come Christ. And from Christ come all of us. All the 7 church ages. You get what I'm saying? But your husband will sing this out this year. When he was taken through that, sometimes he has to do those things. So the vine has to be put by a skillful hand on a system of sticks and wires that is necessary. Then the vine is tied to the stake. Sometimes the vine dresser has to hold the vine and bend it this way, because when it grew over in the neighbor yard, has some wild fox and different across the world put their hand on that vine. So he realized now, no, this branch is bend this way back, and he nail it. Put 2 nails inside it. How many know the great vine himself was put on a stake? And then nail it and fasten him on that stake there. Is that right? He who was the great vine himself, the true vine. The vine dresser have to bend and twist the branches. Then you fasten with nails. Some you have to tie with cords and wires. What is he trying to do? Hold them in position. He's trying to hold our brand in position, because when you watch where the vine vineyard is situated, and you watch how the vine running, and you watch the sunlight, and you know where the harvest sun is going to be, it must be able to strike the fruit on the vine to ripen the fruit evenly. You get this? Because when grapes are grown in a vineyard, if they don't ripe evenly, then they say the grapes that is not ripe, and you harvest them, they're low in sugar, so they can't ferment properly. They come forth with no stimulation, because they ain't really good. They have the sugar to ferment them. And that's the power when they ferment. That's the power in the vine. So somebody feeding off of them. Hallelujah. How you going? But God bless me, you know. But you sure? You can't see it in my heart. Oh God, have mercy. Time for the show outside in your heart all these years. Time for the shake out a little bit. Oh, catch this. You
You have to bend them and twist them, fasten them with nails. So you have to tie. That's why somebody holds someone in a place. Because the vine have a tendency to run a different path. You catch what I'm saying? Vine does run. It have a tendency to run in the wrong direction. I mean, Jonah take off in the wrong direction. I know Abraham run down in Egypt. I mean, God had to take him and prune off that. Because when he went to Egypt now, Abimelech started to get on the vine tree. Pharaoh started to get on the vine tree. Is that right? Going after the grapes. Little foxes started to get on the vine. The vine dresser started to come in and flick on. And they all flicked off and flicked on the whole house. Then God pruned off that old him and nailed him down in place. Of its own will. But you see, the vine dresser knows if you run the way you want to run, like Jonah, God said, go to Nineveh. He buy a ticket and go into Tarshish. He taken off the Tarshish. The vine want to run where it want to run, but it can't bear fruit in Tarshish. The fruit had to be in Nineveh. Nineveh had to eat that fruit, not Tarshish. So what God has to do? He come with the pruning hook. He create the storm. Then he come with the shears. He create the fish. Is that right? Then he put him down in the belly of the fish. In darkness. Now catch this. This is sunshine is absolutely essential for the vine. Because without it, the vine bears nothing but leaves. But though the vine needs sunshine, it must also have darkness. It has been discovered that the vine rests during the night. It does not grow, but it recuperates itself and it prepares itself for the putting forth of fresh energy. During the day, it consumes more sap than it can draw from the root. But during the dark hours of the night, it is accumulating stores of sap on which to feed. That's where we recuperate and we build its strength and energy. They keep pushing forth more fruit and maturing the fruit and feeding the cluster grapes and bringing them to its full potential. So the husbandman, the spiritual husbandman, know the value of dark seasons. So he put Samson. Samson was running. Wrong of down the Philistine road. Is that right? And he come in his shares. And he said, right. But before he could, God could even come in his shares, Delilah had the shares too. She had them under she own sharing. Is that right? Then God take the eyes out and say, you need some dark season. You're using up your energy too much. You have to rebuild your energy. You're putting out your energy and all kind of things that is unnecessary. And your fruit is coming to perfection. I need to tie you down. And God put him in chains. Is that right? And God put him through a dark time. Was God destroying the vine? God was seeing, I have already said you will deliver the people. And you ain't shall kill them Philistines in the measure and the number yet. You ain't shall bring forth the kind of fruit that you're supposed to bring forth. I ain't seen no greater works come out of you yet. So you need some dark times. You need some holding down in your position. You need to get your zeal curtailed so you're running your own path. My skillful hands have to twist you into some pressure and bend you and bring you back to say, nail you down in that prison house a while. And let you rebuild your strength there because the time is coming. Them Philistines and them is about ready to come to make sport. And you should be in condition for greater works for the final ride with a new crop after the eyes are gone. How many of that scripture is repeating itself again these last days? How many of Joseph in prison repeating itself in the last days to come out of there? How many of Samson came out of that prison house? How many of Joseph came out of that prison house? How many of the vine dresser was on the job? Is that right? Dark times
season of dark trials when the corn or the grape have to be crushed, when the corn have to be bruised and broken before it can become bread. Get a Gethsemane and a Calvary before you get an Easter, a Zarephath and a chariot if you want the Carmel. That time, through dark trials, tribulations, persecutions, I'll be faithful. But I'm going to see the King. Amen. I perish. I'm willing to pay the price. Dark times in the belly of the fish for Jonah. But he came out of the ministry that saved the nation from the wrath of God. Dark time for Daniel in the lion's den. Went to the dark night. And when they broke and the king ran out and said, Daniel, are you there? He said, oh yes, I'm right here. He said, the grapevine dresser. Amen. He knew I needed this little dark spell here. But he have his hedge around me. Nobody going to pluck these grapes, my Lord. Amen. That time for Joseph in the prison house. But what it was an East thing to make him. It was an Easter. It was a new ministry. A rising of our ash heap. Taking place. I wonder if it's a new ministry in the making for you. I wonder if it's a rise of our ash heap. I wonder if you're willing to let him pluck you up this morning and plant you. I wonder if you're willing, if you've been fighting up when he's trying to hold you down and guide the path that you should grow. Because he knew the purpose he planted you for. And you're trying to run in self-way like the vine going, but he tied you to a stake. Think of it. The vine dresser employs methods designed to restrain and control the branches because he desires to secure them, to ensure that they become fruitful. That's why he ties them. If you don't tie it, all the grape will drop to the ground. We got accessible to any little fox, any ants, anyone that could get it. Then it can't even write properly in that condition. Then it don't serve its purpose. It can't become good raisins. It can't become good wine for his table. All his labor is gone in vain. They say there's no tree as the vine tree that is pruned so mercilessly without ceasing. I'm trying to close everything. No tree that is pruned so. There's no tree in the whole botany kingdom that's pruned and stripped and purged and forced to grow in a certain way and held down and nailed down in places. His church, his real church, he will deal with them different. I remember when he called Abraham out, he took him out of Mesopotamia. Idolatry down in Babylon. And they bring him over across the Euphrates River with him. Bring him and plant him in Hebron to grow. And he was coming and he had Terah with him. And he had Lot with him. Suckers on the vine. And God knew they ain't bringing forth nothing. They in the vine, attached to the vine. But they ain't bringing forth nothing. They hindering the fruitfulness of this vine. You know what God do? He walk in with his shears. Flip! Here I went. Then he come in. Things start among the herdsmen with Lot and them. God come in to pull the knife. Ah! Lot went. When God fling that thing off the vine, so it drops straight in Sodom. Whap! And become a vine down in Sodom. Is that right? But God kept cultivating his vine. Genesis 14, he went out to fight the kings. Is that right? And he tasted Melchizedek wine. And God said, this is the kind of wine you want to bring. The same kind. This is my choice vine here. And then he went for Genesis 15. And God said, time for some purging again. Because you want to become fruitful. And you want to bear more fruit. He said, but Lord, a child is unfruitful. When I done with you, bear fruit like that. See them stars in the sky? You can't check your clusters. Brother Sarah come up with some idea of how to get this fruitfulness without purging. She said, go with Hagar. She could be a fruitful vine by the side of your house. She will bring forth the olive plant from your table. Olive plant. Thistle. Olive plant. But a God come down the pulling hook. He said, Hagar has to go. She has to go. What? Cast up the bottom of your son. Take it away. Why? It hindering the fruitfulness of one who have to grow to sonship and heirship. Sonship and heirship have to come out of the house. A life that is submission to the will of the Father. A life that could dig back the same wells. A life that could be heir of all things. A life that could take the headship over the bride. Continue the posterity in the earth. And what he was bringing forth, he was bringing forth wild grapes. And God said, that degenerate thing you bring forth, and God had to prune it. Is that right? That's right, friends. Everything was pruned off. Every sucker was pruned off. And Genesis 22, God brings the God and offer Isaac now. Bring a drink offering. Bring a drink offering. Take the grape now and offer it to me. The wine press in Moriah. And he come with the grape. He come with the grape to offer it up. Oh, my. He come with the grape to offer it up, friends. Oh, I thank God this morning. Thank God this morning. Friends, nothing is too hard. When you're carnal, you're stop of pain and this and what you're going through. Because you're not living in fellowship with God's purpose and God's omniscience and God's will. You still want to, you have energy and you still want to live your life and control God, how he should deal with you. It's a lack of submission. They have not yet submitted and surrendered to the will of God. To say, I know you hold me down here, Lord. When he's bringing Israel out of Egypt, didn't he hold them in places for years? To teach them certain things? Before he placed them in Canaan? That's right. Remember Joseph was in prison? Between the bottle and the baker? How many know this? The shears, the scissors, is two blades that is cross. That's joined in the middle. Like the Old and New Testament join the cross and becomes a cross. How many knows that? But how many know the cross, Calvary, Golgotha, is a place of suffering and death. Is a place of crucifixion. Is a place of agony and tears. Is a place of the bitter cup. A place of sacrifice. A place of self-sacrifice. Doesn't God bring you to this result? Does God bring you to a place where sometimes it seems that the crossroads are life? God bring you to a place where you're caught between God's crossfire. Did God bring you to a place where you come down to a real killing? That's right, every one of us. Wasn't Joseph in the prison? How many know that was the cross? Was Jonah in the belly of the fish? How many know that was the cross? The widow at Zarephath with the meal and the sticks? How many know that was the cross? How many know Christ in the cross is the voice of the archangel? How many know the bride in this hour to have that ministry? She has to come to the prison house. She has to come to the two sticks. How many know the pruning to bring him forth fruitful? Why? His feet was infected as an iron there. He was tried by the word in the prison until his word came. Until his word came. He was nailed down there. He told the butler, get me out. God said, get you out. And God drive the stake down and tie him. No butler can get him out. God had a hole here, they grow here still. God controlling the life. Friends, is something going wrong this morning? That what didn't work out to you disappoint you? You get frustrated, you get down, you get discouraged. How come you didn't lift your hand and praise the Lord and say, Lord, may the Lord take it away? How come you say, Lord, maybe you had a better reason not to give me that and have me this way? Why are you gloomy? Are you blaming somebody? Why is your father all things hooked together for good and I love you and I call upon your purpose? What is your attitude in the child, friends? Your attitude going to determine what kind of progress you're making? Look at the widow of Zarephath in that dark hour. She needed a dark time to grow, to recuperate. She was bearing fruit. Wasn't Abraham bearing fruit? But God purged him to bear more fruit. Wasn't Joseph bearing fruit? But God purged him to bear more fruit. Wasn't Jonah, his prophet, bearing fruit? But he still had some suckers in that need trimming off. And God purged him to become more fruitful. That's right. The widow of Zarephath, let me close up with her. In that dark hour, she had come to the end of her human strength. She was a fruitful vine by the side of her dead husband's house. She had been pruned and purged. But the husband man didn't finish it. She was to be finally stripped by Elijah, who is coming to strip her of the last that she had. So she became more fruitful. And God, the vine dresser, knew the potential of that vine. He said, I have commanded her to sustain thee. She don't even know she has potential to sustain him. But God knows all she needs is pruning. And I'm sending him to prune. So she can become more fruitful. She thinks she come to the end and she bear as much as she could bear. God said, no, you ain't set a bear yet. You ain't know your untapped resources. I come to take you into your untapped resources. I come to get you to discover your potential. At that same time, God is purging the nation. Israel, God, vine, God is purging it. He had shut up the heaven and make it brass. He had planted them, but it only begin for sour grapes. And the same Elijah who is pruning that nation and shut up the heaven is the same Elijah going to prune the Gentile woman too. Because both was in God's field. Both was vines. And now that same pruning instrument in God's hand begin to prune so she could bear much fruit. Maybe he's pruning you this morning. Hold you down a little bit. He nailed you down in some places. You tried to run in certain places like Abraham, like Jonah. But God wouldn't let you run where you want to run. Because God knew where you want to run, you wouldn't fulfill the real purpose. So he turned that vine back this way. He bent it this way. He nailed it down. He tied down here. So you could be exposed to maximum sunlight. So your fruit could ripe evenly. So when you bring your grapes, they ain't too green. Neither are they overripe. You're comfort to the right quality. God begin to purge. God begin to strip away. They say, when you see a vine purged, every bit of leaf come off it, the bark strip away, everything. It's only left with one or two cluster. Most of the big branches, they have one cluster. Because they know they're going to get a better weight of better grapes by only allowing one bunch. You think God have 45 different churches all over this country? Could never get quality on this tree, that vine. To purge that tree for it to be right. Why God didn't leave it to Prince of Tongues seedless all here? Why did God graft the branch? Oh my, the wisdom of God, friends. The suffering of that time wasn't worthy to become paid. Let me do something for me. To the glory that was going to be revealed in Joseph, in that woman, in Jonah. But when Jonah thought things was going wrong, that fish was heading straight to Nineveh to bring a whole nation on their face to repentance before God. And Jesus said, the men of Nineveh will stand that day and condemn the people of this generation because they repented of the preaching of a man who didn't do one sign. So mightily! Because God was divine, tried to run this way, but when God nailed it down, fixed it to run this way and purge it from its own will, look at the fruit that come forth. And God still went on purging further on the hill.
and get a little more merciful when you sit down there waiting to be forgotten and judge people. He needed some more dark times. God had to bring down the shade sometimes. Say, God, pull down the black sheet. I tried to pray and God wouldn't hear me. My wife died. My daughter died. My son died. I said, oh God. He said, I did from fasting. I could hardly step. Trying to go down and pray for his sick children. I know he wouldn't hear me. He said, pull down the dark shutters. Why? The husbandman knows. It needed a dark season. We all just have to have them dark places. You might be going through a dark time this morning. You might be going through a time where it seems like you can't get your own will expressed. You want to run this way, block you. You want to run this way, block you. You want to run this way, block you. And you're getting frustrated. Don't get frustrated. Give up. Recognize he's trying to get you to grow according to the course that he knows is beneficial to the purpose he has planted you for. You are in the end going to be more fruitful and he'll be glorified out of your life. You wouldn't just be a good sister in a long dress or a good brother with a clean shave. You'll be a vessel of honor showing forth the riches of his glory. That widow, in her time of dark trial, you know when he comes, he asks for the water. She get the water. He asks for the cake. She hold on to that. Take the pruning knife out. And he start to strip. Start to strip self-will. Start to strip fear. Start to strip doubt. Die out the dust, said the Lord. Is that right? Nail it down. Oh man. But she got the meal and the oil, and she got the two sticks. Christ at the cross. She was bringing forth a mystery of the voice of the resurrection. She was bringing forth the second fall of the seventh seal, a Gentile woman in the days when the ministry of Elijah had repaired the altar. A woman called under the ministry of Elijah with a sacred responsibility to keep that word alive in the hour of famine. A woman who had skill to mix meal and oil together and then to put it into the fire. What was happening? She began to believe on him whom God had sent. She began to recognize not the God of the past with her husband, but that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. She began to submit to the word of God in her mind, standing in the present tense, showing her how to become fruitful. And the vine that was bearing fruit began to bear much fruit. The quality and the quantity that the vine dresser was being glorified in that hour, because she was bringing forth fruit to perfection, a perfect faith, a resurrection faith, a faith that could create. That every day in a house there's a paradox taking place. A little old widow like Hattie in a house, and Elijah in a house, and create the power in operation in a house. Because they could recognize God in the present tense. Because they prune away all that old thing. And she could see the sufferings of this present time. Though I'm being stripped away of my will. Do I want to run my own course? Do it tie me down? I could accept he has a purpose. I can see what is going to come forth in the end. Jesus will fix it in the end. Think of it, my brother, my sister. Peter, in that first age, when they put for that first branch, that alpha, they understood what it was to be in submission to the vine dresser. They understood what it is to be a purged branch to bear much fruit. Because Jesus himself spoke the mystery to them first. And they went through the first purging. And they had the first interpretation of the mystery in the life. And they preach about suffering. Here Paul talked about suffering.
What shall separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Shall famine, pestilence, tribulation, persecution, peril, sword, nakedness? What? He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. It's not I that live, but Christ that live in me. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach it to the Gentiles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He bought for them 9 fruits. He bought for them 9 gifts. He bought for them 5 offices. Think of it. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This great mystery of God being revealed. Him having the preeminences. It was revealed to him. He talked about the 9 fruit in Galatians 5:22 because he was bearing that fruit. Look at Peter, 2 Peter 1. Peter knew he had that fruit. Peter knew when he was energized, when he was in union, walking in connection to that vine. But look at the purging Peter had to go through. Look how he purged Peter and made him clean. Look how he gave all self-will out of them. Look how he break them. I go fishing. He said, you go and feed my sheep and feed my lambs. He bent and put and nailed him down in his commission. Is that right? That's right. Where you want to run? If you are gopher wood, do what you want to do. You are thorns and thistles, do what you want to do. They're going to fire anyhow. You just contend to be some branch in the vine that ain't bringing forth no fruit. You don't have long in the church no more. He'll take you out again. He will take you out. According to his word, he'll take you out. You know why? You're holding somebody else's place. And you're hindering others from coming to the place you're going to come to. He gave them 70. And turned to the 12. Will you go also? And he had the pulling hook in the hand, where to put upon them. Peter said, go away. That was the words of eternal life. I stick this vine. I want to bring forth more fruit. He said, you bend me, you tie me, you crucify me upside down, whatever they're going to take. Just leave me this vine right here. By the grace of God. Look at Paul and say, he will see him and think you have to suffer for my name's sake. But he'll bring forth such fruit and let the Amalek manifest in him. His words will come in the Bible. That's right. Ask him and tell him, I shall bring him lawfully speak. When Paul, a man who went to murder the children of hate and resentment and bitterness, bringing forth all our wild grapes as part of the Israel who became the degenerate vine, the Pharisees. When God took him out at that, he come and he write about it. Love beareth all things, endureth all things, is not easily provoked, doesn't behave to unseemly, is slow to anger, thinketh no evil. Look at the fruit this man was bringing forth. Look at the fruit. But look at the purging. Look at the purging. You some hot house plant this morning? Look at David. Before that branch could come to the throne, God had a prune of Saul. Is that right? Abner tried to hinder the vine. God bust up Saul's house. Prune Abner off. David come to the throne. It's had a bear fruit. But then he went numbering the people. Then went after this man's wife. God said, time for the pruning hook again. God shall prune again. Is that right? Nathan said, the pruning knife will not leave your house. That's right, friends. You are ordained to be among fruit. Carry yourself better than that. You are called to reflect the mystery of the great vine himself, David. Oh, praise his mighty name. Nothing has gone wrong, friends. Joseph represents that branch that comes from the root. Revelation 11, the last days, planted by Revelation 10:1. This great fountain of eternal life. This well of eternal life.
this open book. That's where he planted us. Look and see where we planted. Daniel swam by the Ezekiel River. Is that right? What a great thing. You're chosen in him. You come forth in your own season of time. You're ordained to be a fruitfulness. There's a word to shine upon you to let you know when you begin to go through your dark times, when you begin to restrain and restrict and control your life, when you begin to hold you and tie you down in places, nothing is going wrong. When they begin to strip you away of a lot of things, like with Job, to make him more fruitful, you strip off children, strip off possessions, strip off health. What was he doing? Killing Job? In the end, he had a double portion. He was more fruitful. Is that right? Nothing is going wrong, my brother, my sister. Be of good courage today. How many can look at the circumstance, look at the attitude in the circumstance, look at the will of God revealed in the life of Naomi, in the life of David, in the life of Samson, in the life of Jonah, in the life of Abraham, down to the Bible, in the life of Paul, in the life of Peter, in the life of the prophet? All the examples I've been giving you to see. How he has to watch over that vine. The methods he has to employ in his cultivation of that species, so it can become fruitful. With much fruit to make his heart glad. And he can say, my cup runneth over. Wine is the thing that brings joy and stimulation. Wine is the thing that gladdens the heart of man. Wine is the thing that represents his precious blood. It never loses power. Lord, the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Even at harvest time, when that vine is stripped completely, even the big clusters is stripped off the vine, put into the wine press, and then trampled under the feet of men. But what is going to happen? God is going to be worshipped. Man is going to be rejoicing. Man is going to be nourished and strengthened. Because this vine could stand the pruning, could be in submission, could die to the self-will, could accept the plan for them to grow and fulfill God's purpose. And then even to be crushed upon, so that they can bring forth the very blood of the grape, the very life itself, that they can worship God, serve God's purpose. That's God's church. That's the life of believers. We look at God's expectation. We look at God's disappointment. We look at God's purpose in planting the vine. We look at God's methods in cultivating the life. We look at the attitude of believers who are symbolic of fruitful bough. David was a fruitful bough. Samson was a fruitful bough. He let little foxes spoil his vine. He had to go through some dark times to recuperate, rebuild his strength, to be healed. God had pruned off a lot from him that was hindering his fruitfulness. But in the end, he brought forth the fruit. He brought deliverance to God's people. We look at Joseph, who became strong in this time of trial and testing. Who
Would you go along and look at your circumstance and relate it with the old mentality? We look at the widow of Zarephath. We look at Naomi. We look at all of these histories. But you've seen the end. We have seen the patience of Joseph. We have seen the patience of Job. We've seen the patience of David. We've seen the patience of Abraham. But we have seen the end of the Lord. It's his objective and his purpose. His achievement. He's going to have a church, friends. And if you are a branch, I'm the vine, you're the branches. There's a testimony and a witness that's ordained to come from your life. But before it can bring that forth in the measure, in the abundance, to glorify the word, because the denomination of a healing. But there are things they will say, we have never seen it done on that fashion before. When the prophet was here, God did things in a certain fashion. To show it wasn't Matthew 7:21. We prophesy in your name and we do this in your name and we cast out devils in your name. No. And then he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Not that. When that true branch comes from the root, it's coming forth with the very life and the character. The very fruit of the person of Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid this morning. Let go to him. Be a fruitful bone. Let him pluck you up this morning. Let him plant you by the well. Let him remove you from the swampy places. You can't go there. Wine could, grape could never come there. Where you're trying to live and bring forth this promise, you can never bring it forth. Abraham had to learn that. Samson had to learn that. Samson tried to live down with Philistine with Delilah and can't bring that forth. He loses his eyes. He had to go through that time. He had to be pruned off. Abraham trying to go with Hagar to bring this and follow his wife, reasoning and human program. That can't bring this promise forth. El Shaddai had to come and put a knife and tell him, cut flesh. The circumcision that have cut off the energy of the flesh and bring submission to the spirit and tie the life in the place where he can bring forth the promise. How many would surrender to him? How many believe his word to surrender to him? I trust when you lift that hand this morning, it come out of faith in your heart with conviction and deep purpose. Because you see and you understand what these things mean. I ask the Lord to give me some grace to preach this message. Because I know people was hurting. And I wanted to preach in a way that they can see things that terrify them and worry them. And make them think it's going wrong. They can't get through it what they want to do. And they can't achieve the goal. And they can't get blessed. That they will see, no, that's God. That's God. You have tied up. That's his methods to get you fruitful. Without me, you can bear nothing, he says. As the branch cannot bear fruit except abide in the vine, so you cannot bear nothing. You don't bear nothing, you are taken away and you wither, and then men gather you and throw you in the fire. You become a degenerate plant. You only bring forth an empty vine and bring forth things for yourself. When you bring forth something for yourself, that is not God, friends. What comes forth from God is live for others. It is live for others. They will say, God give me this, God give me this, God give me this, God give me this. How God, everything God give you for yourself. That is not God. God is gifting for other people. You mean God again that nobody else can get? When God gave faith, others is get. When God gave virtue, others get. When God gave temperance and meekness and long suffering, when God gave bodily kindness and God gave forgiveness, people get released. Amen.
Get out of that kind of Pentecostal denominational foolishness. Let's get to a place with the real God, friends. We can submit to Him this morning. Let's stand on our feet. All to Jesus, I surrender. I want to submit. I want to be a fruit, friends. I'm just preaching to you. I'm preaching myself this morning too as well. Preaching myself maybe more than you. These things are real in my life. I know I'm bearing fruit, but I want to see more fruit. And I know you have to purge me for me to see more fruit. I don't say, but God, I'm living for you. I look at me, I do this, and look at them, you know, and why I going through that, and how they ain't going through that. And, yeah, I a Christian, I going through this. That's carnal. That's carnal. He said, taking a Gethsemane of drops of blood breaking through his skin before the air, and taking a cruel agony of Calvary before there could come a proof of an eternal God who could raise the dead. It taking a Gethsemane and a Calvary to make an Easter, it certainly did. How those apostles upon that morning, when they were so discouraged, until Peter said, I'm so discouraged, I believe that I'll just go back fishing again. I'll go back down. They had great hopes and believed in everything until it came that great darkening place. What was God doing? He was bringing those apostles to an ashy. He's bringing them to a place where they will have their faith confirmed to them. Darkness. Divine does need that to rebuild its energy. Samson, Jonah, Joseph in the prison, Daniel in the lion's den. Naomi, dark times. He passed them through. See, it takes a crucifixion. It takes the crushing of a flower to bring perfume from it. It takes the crushing of a life to get the best out of it that there is. That's the reason Jesus had to be crushed to bring forth what he was. He could not stand before the crucifixion and say, all power in heaven and earth is given to my hands. He could not stand before the crucifixion and say, all power in heaven and earth is given to my hands. But after the crucifixion, he could stand and say, all powers in heaven and earth is given to my hand. But what did he do? It taking crucifixion first. It taking the crushing and the disappointing of the apostles. You pray, you beg, and you cry. I cried for healing both night and day. Faith wasn't forgotten by the Father above. Isn't it strange? Look where all this word come back in this September month. Suffering, affliction, hardship. But a promise, a blessing, deliverance, healing, fruitfulness, victory. Oh my. They were so disappointed. They seen their Savior, the one they love, seen him even raise up the dead from the grave. They seen him do that. And then think, there he lays cold in the grave himself. See, the devil was working on them, putting them on an ash heap, for they wanted to give them a testimony of I know. Not I guess or perhaps it's true. I know. And remember, those trials are brought upon you the same way. So that you will not say, well, maybe this is right, maybe the scripture is right, maybe divine healing is right, maybe the Holy Ghost is right. But when you get that experience and come off that ash heap, you get the revelation of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can scream, I know that my Redeemer liveth because he lives in me. Peter said, I'll go fishing. The apostle said, I'll just go with you. There was an ash heap down there in the midst of the sea. Trouble going on that way. I could hear one of them say, oh, could it happen, Peter? Could it happen? It's a bit comes to Mervyn. You believe I'll come out of this, brother? You believe he'll bring me out? I said, sure, my sister, he'll bring you out. What do you mean if you bring your gifts? Bring your gifts. You and your ashi. He bending you that you don't understand it, but that divine dress, that's his method. He was training you, you want to run this way. He wouldn't let you run this way fast, you know, with nails. You can't teach wisdom, you don't understand his ways. Since sisters, the songs of trials start on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. He guides us with his eye.
and we will follow till we die, and then we'll understand better by and by. But if we don't understand right now, like Job, we stand flat-footed and we say, "The Lord, very Lord, together we bless, be the mighty Lord, we worship God." And we thank God for the mountain, we thank God for the valley, friends. Amen. Hi. Peter said, "I'll go fishing." The apostle said, "I'll go with you." How could we sit there thinking a man could die? He could be put in a grave the way he was. How could he stand there? Yet this man walk on water, this man speak in storms, this man raised death from corruption. Then this man cold in a tomb. It broke them. They shake him, he couldn't come back up. He was dead. They wrapped him up, he was dead. They lift him up and put him in the tomb, he was dead. They already told him he was dead. He was discouraged. That's what we live for. We forsake all to follow this. That way it comes to. Nothing was going wrong. Nothing was going wrong. The branches in the dark time. Oh, what a disappointment. All of a sudden, they look over the bank and they see Tiberius. Just the same kind of revelation that Job got 4,000 years before. There stood the Redeemer, alive and fresh, standing on the bank with a fire made and fish cooking like that. Doesn't he have style? Doesn't he have style? They want to see him. They cry, they beg, they're discouraged, they're disappointed. They go back disillusioned. People testify, they don't have faith to catch him. He knew where they was. He went by the sea, set the fire. He put the fish on. It's cooking. He had the breeze to blow, but they could smell it. And he's standing there, and they're toiling in the flesh. He had tell him, go in Galilee. They're running towards Emmaus. They're running Tiberias. The vine dresser was still in the jam. He said, "Children, you have any meat?" He said, "Come and die. Come and die." The master called. Oh, man. He says, "Lovest thou me more than these? You want to run this way? Lovest thou me more than these this morning? You love them beggarly things more than the Lord Jesus, who give us this message, who sent this prophet, who raised up this church, who have us walk in this light?" Oh, friends. We see what they do in the region here. We see destruction that comes. Brother, Friday, we call up all the saints in the region. He said, "You want to do something with Grenada?" The brothers in St. Vincent, they got there. After they got the message, church gathered for prayer service. Very same scripture I took here, but Elijah took the same scripture. Send a relief. Speak to the church. They rallied so fast. Saturday morning, Brother Osmo, he was out to Union Island. 100-pound sack of flour, 100-pound sack of rice, oil, toothpaste, everything. Load of stuff. But Elijah and Brother David was moving quickly behind to meet with them. Brother Ben was called up, keeping me posted as they, he said, they're getting ready to go out now. He said, "They're underwater now. You can get in the caracu this time here." Then they came in the caracu last time. When they reached, you know, I said, $1,000! You can't come through dollar goods to go there. But I call back and says, "They just charging $1,000 here, but we didn't expect them to remove that kind of money. It's what we believe by God, everything's under control here. That this thing has to go through to the saints." But I call back a little later after. He says, they should be arriving in the Cairo tonight. I said, "We have Sister Gemma and Sister Parrot, John's Parrot there. Let her find them, get into the house, stay there for the night, share the word with them." He said, "Sister Laurel and them in Grenville is waiting for them to come in this morning." Brother, while he's there, I tell about myself, "And let him be sensitive. There are pirates in the sea." He said, "Yes, we have been informed too." So the brothers, we notify them. So I said, "But let them know they are gouts in my prayer going in there." Amen. But taking this relief to the saints by the grace of God. When they talked to the brothers over there, those are the last bit of conflicts. I says, "Lord, look at these gallant, noble saints. Rose up there under the influence of the word. Step up by faith." But Elijah said, "Brother Phil, we never see these saints give like that. So they rally there. They send that first thing of food supplies there that can be distributed for the saints. Can't buy nothing over there. Tell me you kind of control. You know, only a little body of people going in. Who checking this? Who doing this? Who doing that? Who doing that? Who coming back with a report? Who make a next report? Who sending more observers? Who sit down on a desk trying to organize this stuff? The brothers move quickly. So the last night, we too, here, the saints in Tobago doing this morning. Our brothers and our sisters. But the beautiful thing I saw the body in operation. I saw how the world is beginning to live. I saw how God created circumstances to give exercise, to get the church operated, a regional church in a region that can move from any side under any circumstance. Seeing results. I was sitting in the morning meetings there, seeing how the Holy Spirit is moving, seeing the unity of the one God, the one church, begin to come down. That influences me this morning to want to surrender to Jesus Christ. That influences me this morning to rise my stand, not to shoot back, not to play no bench warmer, not to sit down in the back as no spectator, not to sit on the side and don't involve me. And I don't bring forth fruit. Remove it out of the branch. Remove it out of the branch completely. Out of the vine. Let's only have fruit behind branches. Let's have that kind of zeal for God, church. God, and they are not bearing removing from among us. Lord, ain't that bearing punch that can bear more fruit. Lord, we want you to be glorified, but you plant this vine as the great vine dresser who plant for a crop. Lord, when you look at us, let us be a fruitful bar by the well, Lord, that you can be pleased with in the end. I surrender all to Jesus as a prayer. To Jesus, in this hot building with the perspiration running down upon you, but in your heart and in your mind, you fix on Jesus Christ, the vine dresser who is come down in our midst with the pruning hook in his hand this morning. Who is looking at the branches of the vine. We all want to bear the fruit that pleases him. We don't want to have sour grapes. We don't want to be an empty vine that brings forth herself. We don't want to become just a bunch of wood, good for nothing. If you have to tie me down, if you have to twist me and put pressure, if you have to turn me around from running one course to get back in another direction, if you have to prune me and purge me, if you have to strip me completely, oh my God, all in a heart with love, in a heart full of submission, Lord, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender. Oh, gracious God, look over us today. Make me Savior, holy die. Let me feel the sap, the Holy Spirit energizing this branch. Let me see the results that's going to come forth from true union, true connection. Where my sap is not being wasted upon some old shoots and suckers that paralyzes my fruitfulness, but purge it out. That it can, all that sap that's being wasted on them suckers could get to the cluster grave. Bring it forth rich and full for you, Lord. Pleasant to your taste. Because I believe I'm a branch from the root. I'm not looking for no false testimony. I'm not looking for no selfish thing. But your very life, your very fruit, I show you the same yesterday and forever. up to Jesus. Let's bow our hands and sing this. I surrender. Lord, I give myself to you. Do you really mean that, friends? Fill me with thy love and power. Let you reign, you form and latter. Let that blessing from heaven, fall on me, Lord. Let my roots go deep and draw from the hidden springs deep. Hallelujah. Try to move and like you cannot move, you are nailed down in a certain place. Have you felt a strong hand squeezing you and twisting you and pulling you? Taking such power and control over every fiber you be. If you are, which other tree goes to that? Will have to be a vine. Will have to be a grapevine. That will make you a bone, a branch in that vine. Why did he do that? To hold you in a place where this rays and this sunlight can hit you. And turn your flowers into blossoms, and turn your blossoms into grapes, and bring your grapes to maturity, and let it ripe evenly. So when it's harvested, some is not green, or some is not overripe. That they could have the right kind of fermentation. It could be in the quality. Isn't that what, how to bring forth the promises, to bring forth the graces and the virtues of the life of Jesus Christ, that can finish this ministry of the Son of Man, the second fold, his final ride. Those who are not ministry, the voice of the archangel, Joseph in the prison, Christ in the cross. The widow of Zarephath, that Gentile woman did after Elijah. But it means two sticks, Christ in the cross. Children develop the fish, Christ in the cross. Are they not mysteries of the second fool of the seventh seal? Is not that the church to come to perfection, to bring the resurrection? Is that not the vine from the root? Is not that a fruitful book planted by the well, Revelation 21 with an open book? Like Joseph? Then this will be your experience. How have you responded? How did you act? Have you murmured and complained? Are you still murmuring and complaining? Have you misunderstood? Today, what grace has come that the light could shine? If you throw up your hand and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Jesus, answer me with your will. Oh God, I realize my life is a little deeper in the world. I wouldn't be living so shallow and thinking so carnal. But I can see a deeper purpose. I can grasp your hidden truth. I can enter into it and see even how those dark times are so valuable, so necessary for the vine and its fruitfulness. Oh God, purge me with the vine. Clean me. Whatever it's going to take to make me more fruitful, that you could be glorified in my life. I want to be a fruitful man. I want to be like Joseph. But even in time of persecution, I can approach from. Would you do that for me, Jesus? Oh, just pray like that. Just talk to him like that this morning. I'm sure you're going to get his favor. He preached this little word to us that our heart and mind can be ministered to into a spot that we can get the right kind of response from us. The cooperation he desired. Because the days are running out, friend. We see what's happening in the region already. The very place where we are going to have already been struck with judgment. And we are moving in haste with the word. And we need to get the people who have been affected. We are so glad we have noble, gallant brothers and sisters there in St. Vincent who's closer by can rally to the front. Decisive action. Quick response. No deliberations. Unity. May God ever bless them. Yet we serve our part here in the other churches because we are one in Christ. We are part of the same vine. We are the Lord's plan in this part of the world. I'd like to call Brother Neville to come and pray. I know my brother suffered. He's gone through hardship and pain. He carries so many things in his heart. He had long dark nights, but he's still standing by the grace of God because God has been faithful to him. I want to get close to God. Brother Bram said, oh, his brother Neville back in the tabernacle. Believe we are one like the same. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we love you to stay happy. Deep down in our hearts, you know what is taking place on the inside. Inside of our hearts today. Much gratitude, much thanksgiving unto you, Father. Just surrender our lives unto you to make ourselves more available. And you could work through our lives and make us a better people for your kingdom. Lord, we see you take us through a walk through the Bible, Father, from Genesis right on to the day, the 12th of this month, Father. And Lord, you taking the seals off of lives, Lord, that we could see what it is, Lord, Father, that your children have to come to, Father. Many times we misunderstand, Lord, our strange lives and where you have to pass us, Lord.
Oh, God.
The dark places, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, we are so thankful, Father, that, Lord, like the prophet, Father, standing and looking back in the lives of people, Lord, under vision, Father. Seeing the places in their lives, Lord, where, oh God, they could come and confess that is truth, Father. You see one this morning, Father, taking us back into a journey of our lives that we could see every place that you passed us, Father.
Yes.
That we could understand what you are doing when you're taking us through this process to bring us to a refined state, Lord. Lord, let's make us understand, Lord Father, that it's not just a man standing and preaching, Father. But today we see you take the seals off of his life, Lord. Show us in plain view, Father, what is motivating him, what is coming forth from down in his heart towards your people, Father. Lord, this give us a faith, Lord, that we should believe, Father. Even as the prophet said, Lord, you could get the church to believe him, Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Not even cancer, Lord. No dark areas to come in their lives, Lord.
Jesus.
That day, oh God, Lord, cannot be delivered from, Father. And we are thankful, Lord God, that in a message like this, Father, that when we look around and we see, Lord, what is taking place in this world, God's darkness upon the land and upon the people, and this great light shining upon us, Father, to see what was behind our lives, Lord, all these years, Father. Oh God, because of a cloud and a lot of dove and those rainbow colors, Father, that we know, Father, it's you, the great Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking these things down through these years, Father. So there's no doubt in our hearts today, Lord, concerning these things that has been ministered at this time, Father. This is to put the stabilizers on the ship, Father.
Yes.
To send our roots even deeper into the ground, Father, when we see the storms of this life and where you have to pass us, Father. Lord, we are thankful, Father. May you bless your servant, Father. Lord, we know, Father, where the vine is of our lives is drawing all the nourishment from, Father. We see the source of it, Father. We know it's you, Lord God, behind 16 elements, Lord, for the past 30 years, Lord, that has kept us, Lord. That today, Father, we could bring forth much food, Father.
Jesus.
May you bless him. May you give him the strength that he needs, Father. We see, Lord God, how the virtues came out, Lord. Lord, is because of a vision that you hold of every one of our lives that you have brought under his ministry, Father. Lord, we can say we are delivered, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We can say we are free today, Father.
Oh, my God.
We can say, Lord, whatever condition that we are in and we came in here this morning, we can walk out of here a different person, Father.
Oh, my God.
Lives will need the Holy Ghost, Lord. Could we receive it even at this time, Lord, because the atmosphere is just right. The sun is in its full strength at this time, Father, that we could just move into it, Father, and claim our deliverance, Father. Even our families, our loved ones, our children, Father.
Hallelujah.
Those of God whose eyes cannot behold this glory, Father, may you take the scales from their eyes that they could see this great glory, Father.
Jesus.
The Lord who was, the Lord who is, and is to come, Father. Lord, it's a great time, Lord. It's a great hour, Father. And even to see the moving of the Holy Ghost in the lives of your children throughout the Caribbean, Father. Lord God, is this same anointing, Father. This same inspiration that is moving upon them, Father. Lord, that they could move into this channel, Father, and believe,
yes,
Lord, to go to our brothers in Grenada, Father. Lord, to take a great challenge of faith to cross,
yes,
the waters, Father.
Yes.
Knowing the kind of opposition they will meet, Lord.
Yes.
Pirates and people who, God, Lord, Father, who need the same necessities as our brothers, Father.
Yes.
But they could look beyond these things and know it's you, Father, the great angel of the covenant. The one who's here this morning, the one who's there with them in Dominica, whether it's in St. Vincent, whether in Grenada, in Tobago, wherever they are, Father. Lord, we know that they believe just as we believe, Father, because of the seed word of the Son of Man that is being spoken unto them, Father. Them same thunders that is uttering their voices, Lord, has uttered to their hearts, Lord, that they could rise up with that kind of challenge and believe you, Father. Bless our brothers, Lord. Bless the saints in the Caribbean, Father. Lord, they are associated with us, Lord. The intelligence that came from the head, Lord, is going through the entire body, Father. Everyone, Father, every part of the body is functioning, oh God, effectively in this hour, Lord. And we want to see more of these things moving amongst us, Lord.
Yes.
We want to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles. We know it's taking place, Father, in a measure, but we see, Lord, it's coming to the fullness, Lord. Where the greater works than these shall we do, Father. Where you'll see a super church and Ephesians in this last day, Lord. doing great things for us in our midst, Father. Lord, as we go to our various homes, not forgetting the commitment, Lord, Father, for our brothers in Grenada, Father. We don't want to leave here without inquiring, Father, what we should do, Father. That we could be a cheerful giver, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, to see your people being strengthened and encouraged, to know that we are standing with them, even in troublous times, Father. We go, Father, with these things in our hearts. To have a greater measure of love one for the other, Father. That we long to come back into your house, Father. Where we can pray one for the other, Lord. Where we can esteem others better than our own. Where we can put ourselves in someone else's place, Father. Where we can live selfish lives, Lord. But we can be that drink offering unto you, Father.
Yes.
May you bring us back at the appointed time, Father. And Lord, give us the strength. Even in our dark times, we see the strength coming back in us, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And we will not forget these times, Lord. We will not just come and just leave again, Father. But the things that you have spoken unto us, Lord, we know it. Thy word, O Lord, have we hid in our hearts, Lord. We know it. It will not come out, Lord. We know it cannot come out, Father, because we have digested it, Father. And we believe it with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our mind. Have your own way, Father. Watch over your children as they go to their various homes. Knowing the enemy don't like these things, Father. And we don't like him, Father. We want to stand, Lord, and stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein thou hast set us free this morning.
Thank
you. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Thank you.
We go with thanksgiving, we go with praise, we go with the honor and the glory unto you, Father. We ask all these blessings in Jesus' name.
Dear God, on a higher plane, Father. Feed, dear God, greater objectives than we have seen, Lord. Your purpose. Father, the reason and the purpose of your death to be achieved in our lives and this age that you have placed us in.
Yes.
Dear sons and daughter, in need, Father.
Yes.
Lord, an urgent need of a touch from you. Father, we believe in with her. Looking away this morning, the place where you have died.
Yes.
How it is written in your word, Father, if we be planted in the likeness of your death,
yes,
so shall we be, Lord, the likeness of your resurrection. Father, no doubt, sitting in her seat, see a need, just like us, Lord,
yes,
for growth. Spiritual growth and development, Father. Lord God, see in room to surrender, Lord.
Yes.
See in places in our lives where we can bring forth more.
Yes.
She respond, Father, believing that the Spirit had wooed her. Come, dear God, to next stage of her life, Lord.
Yes.
28 years had allowed her this side of the earth. How you have taught us, Lord God, that every 7 years in our life, there's a change, Lord. Pray this morning, Father, that the great Spirit that is present would give the deliverance where, Lord, she's believing for it.
Yes.
Father, her life would be molded, Lord. Present the character of Jesus Christ. Lord, the forces of darkness and the evils, Lord, that are opposing on every hand, trying, dear God, to hinder the gift from coming to fruition. We come against them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Father, every filthy and evil spirit, O God, is trying to hinder, dear God, this life from bringing forth, Father, what you have ordained it for.
Jesus.
We pray today that you would grant her the liberty to fellowship, Father, with your living purpose, Lord, for her life, Father. Lord God, out of this life, Lord, would come forth, Father, the fruit of your Spirit, Father, joy and peace, Lord. Lord God, and a life of thanksgiving. We ask for that today, Lord, in this great time when you are delivering your people, Father.
Yes.
We pray that the house of hell would give way to your great name that is being proclaimed, Father, in the evening time. Not just her alone, Father, But Lord God, each and every life that stand here today, Lord, especially those of the household of Judah, Father, Lord, the young one that stands to proclaim your name in song and thanksgiving, we pray that there be a great delivering time, Father. They change the darkness, Lord. Would go, dear God, to popping, Father. Lord, lives would be set free. Bless our sister Donna is our prayer, Father. May Lord God her life grow, Father, to give vent and pulsation of the Holy Spirit that is within. We ask that you would breathe the age in the day, Father. Lord God, may her life be ever fruitful, bringing forth the testimony of Jesus Christ. We ask these things today, believing that your word do it for her, Father. May she look away to Calvary, Lord, and see the place, Lord, what it costs you, Father. The willingness, Lord, to surrender. Lord God, may her life be patterned after what you did for her. Grant these things we ask today. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving. Amen.
You certainly thought there'd be more of you here, knowing there are many of you, but it seems like you like to be called, and you don't know when to respond for your own need. You may have your seat. At this time, we're going to pick up a little offering for Grenada and those who maybe for some reason or the other, you can also see about it in the office. Or we also have a box there. And I asked them to have ready there for that, because we have our brother Philip who's supposed to be going in Thursday, and we'd like to liaise with him, and he's in Barbados, but he's having access to go in and to let him make contact with the brothers, so whatever we can send through that way, we'll try to do it, and then further we'll know when, if they're going to free up things so people can travel or whatever they can do by the grace of God. So may God help you as you give whatever support and assistance you can to the precious saints, the believers there. If you understand, 90% of the country from coast to coast has been flattened. You know, it's a declared a disaster area. So that's what it is, and but we are glad to know that at least the first bit of relief and help directly to the church could have gone in from our brothers who responded so gallantly and so promptly from St. Vincent. So God bless you. I'd like to end the service. Over to our brother.
Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's continue singing our song, All to Jesus I Surrender. We'll be glad for us to be in his presence today.
soon, humbly at His feet I bow. Humbly at His feet, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Thank you.
of sin is a disease. All the die of ourselves and serve you just from Jesus' sympathy. From Jesus' sympathy. All that's taken us in life and rest and joy and peace.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.